Okay.
Now, the shiur today is on Erechod Nemen Bisurin, and one of the most difficult figures in Shas, and one that's extremely important. I mean, it's Negeya practically everything. But Erechod Nemen Bisurin is really a component of the whole gamut of how we determine what is halachically real. And it spans really, in terms of knowledge of how whether something, what something is, knowledge of reality, it spans basically, I mean, kala terakola. It's bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lanega. It's a question of questions of what is chayev, in which case you're chayev, which case you're putter, what's usher, what's mutter, what's tame, and what's tar. And we'll be concentrating essentially on the aspect of Erechod Nemen Bisurin. The halacha of Erechod Nemen Bisurin is, we'll see, can be analyzed into several components. But it's based upon the sugyas in Gittin Amid Beis. The sugya in Gittin Amid Beis, I'm going to refer to the sugya of Erechod Nemen Bisurin in general. Which means to say, how could you eat in somebody else's house? You go to a person's house, you want to eat. How do you know what he's serving you is kosher? So that I'm going to refer to as a sugya in Gittin Daf Beis Amid Beis. Interesting enough, what the source for Erechod Nemen Bisurin, upon which we rely constantly, every day, without which, I mean, it's practically a person can't do anything almost. I mean, is really what the source for it is not too clear. I mean, where do you learn this from? It's not a pasuk in the Torah. The aspect which we do find in the Torah is not b'negeya Erechod Nemen Bisurin, but it's b'negeya v'dorashta v'chakarta heitev. Agoda Seidus you have in the Torah. You have it in the Torah in two places. You have it in Shoftim twice. In the beginning of Shoftim you have it where it says Al Pi Shnei Edim, right? Yumas Hameis. That's a halacha b'negeya to onshin. And then you have it again at the end. Al Pi Shnayim Edim, Al Pi Shlosh Edim, Al Pi, the first one is what? Al Pi Shnayim Edim, Al Pi Shlosh Edim, Yumas Hameis. Lo Yumas Al Pi Erechot. So that's the halacha of b'negeya to chiyuvei misa, onshin, malchus is considered misa. Then you have in the end of Shoftim, what do you have? Al pi shnei edim. Yeah. Lo yakum erechod be'ish l'cholov v'l'chol chatas. Where is that? That's yutes tesvav. Okay, lo yakum erechod be'ish l'chol chatas. L'chol ches shech la pi shnei edim al pi shlosh edim yakum dova. Okay, so this is l'chol avon and l'chol chatas. It means what? It means b'nogeya to onish mamon. It includes onish aguf also, onish mamon. So al pishnei edim, pishlosh edim, yakum dover is halacha b'nogeya to mamon. So you have two al pishnayim edim, al pishnayim edim, al pishnei edim, two times in the Torah and Shoftim. There you have the halacha. Clearly, now we know that Edus is valid. That's the parsha of the Darashta v'chakarta heitev. But Erechod Nemen Bisurin, which is not the Darashta v'chakarta heitev, you really don't have a source almost. Rashi has a funny kind of source, which we'll go into Rashi, we'll see. Tesis learns it out from the Sofer Lo Latzma from Nida. We'll see what the Machlekes is. Okay. Now, we're going to concentrate more on Erechod Nemen Bisurin than the Darash of Hakata. Okay. So there's basically three sugyas. The setting up of the system is based upon three sugyas. Based upon the sugya of Gittin and Daf Beis on the Beis, which is a sugya of how you know that you can eat in somebody's house. Then you have another sugya in Gittin Daf Nindalat on the Beis, where a person says, Nitnu Tarasecho. He was working with the individual's food, or his object, and he says that I want you to know that your taharos became tumah. That's getting that from Dalai Lama Bez. Then you have a sugyan kedushin samachayim abez that is actually a machlokas rishonim what that sugya is. According to some rishonim, that sugya is really no different than the sugyan gittin. It's the same sugya. The only thing is, it's gittin, the same sugya as gittin, but there's only one difference. That the sugyan gittin is more complicated. The basic sugya is the sugyan kedushin. That a person says, Nitnu Tarasecho, and Erecho, it says, Nitnu Tarasecho, and in that case, that's the basic case, but the sugya in Gittin is where you're working against the Chazaka. It's the same thing, but with a complication. What's the difference between the two sugyas? Practically, the difference is as follows. The material is difficult. I can't help it. It's a complicated area. That's why I gave you a chance to prepare to Mama Kanas. So the sugya in Gittin, Dafnin Dalar Amid Beis, the difference halachically between Gittin, Dafnin Dalar Amid Beis, and Kiddushin, Samachayim, and Aleph is what? What's the difference? I just want to line up the sugyas, because we have to have these sugyas in our minds, clearly. What's the difference between the sugya in Gittin, Dafnin Dalar Amid Beis, and the sugya in Kiddushin, Daf Samachay, Amid Beis, and Samach Vav Amid Aleph? What's the difference between the two? Just in the most basic, elemental form. What's the difference? Halachically, the difference is that the sugya in Kiddushin teaches you, what's the halach over there, that it's effective with Hagodas Eid Echod, the formula. The formula in Kiddushin is Hagodas Eid Echod plus Shtikas Habal. Okay, that's the sugya in Kiddushin. That Hagodas Eid Echod, in combination with Shtikas Habal, the Eid Echod is made, and the Baal is a shosek, that together, those two components comprise the halacha of Erechot Nemen Bisurin Binageya to the Sugyan Kedushin. So you must have two things. The aid's testimony plus the acquiescence of the Baal. Okay, that's the Sugyan Kedushin. The Sugyan Gittin has a different formula, it would seem. The Sugyan Gittin is what?
Power of the aid to effectuate change on his own.
Yeah. Over there, the sugyan gittin is what is different. Why? Because over there, what's the formula over there? Over there, what's the most salient requirement in the sugyan gittin is what? You have a requirement of biyada. Biyada, it must be biyada. It must be, the nemanis is contingent upon the fact that it's biyada, that it's under his control. If you take away the factor of control, so there's no nemonis. So immediately you have a contradiction between the sugya and gittin, which requires control. It's a machlokas over there, abaye and rava. Okay? According to abaye, it must be constantly under his control. According to rava, it must have been under his control, plus he still didn't see the baal for the first time. It's a situational halacha. In other words, it must have been under his control, and he hasn't met the owner yet. The first time he meets him, he's Neman. If in the first meeting he doesn't say anything, the second meeting he's not Neman. That's rubber. But both agree, and this is what Taisa spells it out in Kedushin. Taisa has the whole formulation in Kedushin, Samachem Abeis. All the cases of Erecha Neman Bisurah. So, over there in Gittin, the halacha is biyado. It must have had been biyado, right? At least, or according to Abaye, it must currently be biyada. That's the sugya in Gittin. The sugya in Kedushin is a different formula. Eid Echod plus Shtikas Habal. Okay? Plus Shtikas Habal. So, some Rishonim learn, the easiest way to learn is that these are not two different sugyas. They're really basically one sugya. But it's one basic sugya with a complication. The sugya is really a sugya in Kedushin. That Eid Echod's Nemon with Shtikas Habal. The only reason why in Gittin you require what? Biyado. Why do I require Biyado in Gittin? Because there's a Chazaka that a Po, you're working against the Chazaka, against an assumption that a Po always functions properly. Okay? So, since you're working against the Chazaka, so therefore you need Biyado. That's That's the sheet that's shown in the middle sheet of the Ran. Okay, we're not going to concern ourselves too much with that sheet. But other Rishonim learn, no, that the Sugyan Gittin is one concept, one category, and the Sugyan Kedushin is a totally different category. The two formulas are based upon the fact that they're two separate realms and have to be dealt with different requirements. Okay? That's really Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, and it's the Ran. Okay? We're essentially going to concentrate on Shitas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran. Because the other Shitas make one Sugyata. Of course, there are many difficulties here in the Sugyata. For instance, so you have three Sugyas. You have the Sugyan Gittin of Beis on the Beis, which is what? Which is the general Sugya of Erech on Emem. Okay? The Sugyan Gittin and Dalar on the Beis, which has a formula of Biyodo, and the Sugyan Kedushin, where the formula is Erechot plus Shtikot. That comprises the entire realm of Erechot Nemen Bisur. What we have to understand is what are these three Sugyas and what are the reasons for all these requirements, specific requirements. For instance, Biyodo. Biyodo is a strange phenomenon. Biyodo works, and according to Abaye and Gittin, Dafnin Dalan or Beis, what kind of a Biyodo is it? It must be currently Biyodo. According to Rav, it must have had been Biyodo, plus the fact that it's the first opportunity that he has to discuss what happened. Okay? That's the Sugyan Gittin and Dalan or Beis. But the Sugyan Gittin Daf Beis and Beis, the most basic Sugyan of Erech on Nemer, so how do I know I can eat in somebody's house? Over there you also have Biyodo, strangely enough. Because by Shchita, according to Taisvis, by Shchita, the only reason he's Nemon, because Shchita is a Schazek Yisurah. And a person isn't believed on a basic, according to Taisvis now, a person isn't believed in a basic way, we don't believe him anymore, there's no Erech HaNem Bisurah, where it's a Schazek Yisurah, where we know for sure where the object has a status. Where the object doesn't have any status, so he's believed. But where the object has a previous status, it's been established as Isur, then the Erech HaNem Bisurah is no good. So the question is, how do you believe a Sheikhet? Every time somebody slaughters an animal, you have to be mimed two agents to stand by him to tell you that the Shechita was good. So how do we rely on a Sheikhet? So what's the answer? Without Ashgacha? What? Because it was Biyada. So it's interesting. So Biyado comes into the picture again. It was under his control. But Biyado appears in two different forms. Of course, there's the Biyado by Shechita, is only what kind of a Biyado? It's a Biyado that was Biyado. Because currently it's not Biyado anymore. He did the Shechita already. Shechita did his job, he's finished for the day, and it's not Biyado anymore. But Taisva says that there's no question about it, the fact that it was Biyado is enough. Yet on the Ndalar Amid Beis, you have a machlekes amoraim with regard to Biyado. Nindalar Amid Beis, by Nitmut HaRasecha, you have a machlekes amoraim with regard to Biyado. According to Abaye, it must currently be Biyado. According to Rav, it's Biyado in the past plus what? Plus the first opportunity. Okay? So we see Biyado reappears in different forms. The Biyado by Shechita and the Biyado over here. I mean, it's an open steer, it's a sugis. According to the Taisus, the Biyado over there by Erech HaNem Bisurin, it was Biyado, it's enough according to everybody. And the Biyado in Gittin and Dalar of the Beis, according to Abaye, it must only currently be Biyado, and yet Abaye himself doesn't argue on the Gittin of the Beis that a Sheikh it has to be currently Biyado. So why is it? Alright? Okay. All right, now let's start a little bit to get involved in the area. Okay, now you have an interesting Ramah. The difficulties in the Sugya, essentially, I mean, does Rabbeinu Tam is difficult? We'll go into the question on Rabbeinu Tam, and we're going to cover also the Ran. The Ran is almost inexplicable. The Ran's pshat. You saw the Ran. It's just about impossible to understand what he's talking about. He has a kind of odor, which is a halachic odor. I don't know what it is. I mean, we'll go through the difficulties in the Ran, but that's going to be one of the essential points in the Ran. I also want to explain Rashi, his whole concept of Erech HaNem Bisurin, which Taisvis finds great difficulties with. He sells for himself Mineo Bay and Gittin Daf Bays on the Bays. We'll get into it. And Tesis Shoshanim's Kasha on his Pshat and Yevamos. Rashi is in three places. Okay. And then what I'll start off with is halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. All right. But the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam, that's the Ran. Ultimately, I want to get back to the Ran. All right. Now, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Let's take the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Halacha is a Kuf Chof Zion. It's the simon that deals with Erecha Nem and Bisur. Okay? So, he says like this. Well, basically, beginning, the Machaber in Kuf Chof Zion and Aleph is basing himself on which sugya? He's basing himself on the sugya in Kedushin. What's the sugya in Kedushin? What's the formula? Erecha plus Shtika. Now, how does he define Shtika? Shtika is a machlok Rishonim. We'll see Rabbeinu Tam holds one kind of shtika, and the other poskim hold the other Rishonim hold the other. He learns shtika means, shtika does not mean, according to the Machaber, it doesn't mean hoda'ah. It doesn't mean he's moda. He agrees. Person acquiesces. We have shtika kodah. It means that if a person says, you owe me $100, and you're shosek, shtika kodah. Shosek, shtika kodah. There's no countertainer. It means he admits. He admits that's the end of the case. We take the money and goodbye. Okay. So that's shtika kodah. So the Machaber doesn't hold that the shtika, the formula for the Gemara and Kedushin, is not really Hagoras Eid Echad plus shtika. Hodah. But it's simply shtika means he just doesn't say anything. Even if he doesn't know. The person doesn't know. Somebody says that your Taharos became Tomei, and you just don't answer him. All right? Then we say the Eid Echad is going to be believed, and it's established that the Taharos are Tomei, and that's it. Shorch on Nirva, if the halacha is that a shor that's Nirva is possible from his Be'ach, okay, if somebody lives with the shor, so it's possible from his Be'ach, that's the halacha, right? So if a person says that I happen to be walking by and I saw a shorch on Nirva, so he will be Nemon, provided the owner is Shosek. Not because the owner knows himself. That's Rabbeinu Tam holds, that Shtika means the owner admits. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam learns that Shtika means the formula in Kedushin is the Machlokas HaRishonim. Let me marry this clever. What does it mean? What does it mean when we say that you have the Agoda of the Aid plus Shtika? What is the meaning of this formula? Does Shtika mean that he's Mode, he agrees that it happened, he knows it happened? The man says that you know very well that your Tyrus became Tomei. You know very well that your Shor was Nirva. And he keeps quiet. So then you see he's Mode Aladava. If he's Mode Aladava, then there's no problem. Okay? That's Rabbeinu Tam. But other Rishonim don't like that shot. Because they find great difficulties with that shot because of the questions that the Ran raises. If he's Mode, so what do you need the aid? The aid is unnecessary. Okay? So they learn that shtika kodah, shtika is not shtika kodah. But what does shtika mean? It's just a formula. He's shosek, he keeps quiet. The aid comes along and says, I want you to know your Taurus became Tomei, and he does not say a word. Right? Okay. That's the way the Machaber learns. He doesn't know it. Okay. Now there's an interesting Ramah. Okay? The Ramah says, Ramah is very difficult to understand what kind of sense the Ramah made. Ramah says like this: Umelamdin oso lachatchila sheyoma eini mamincha. All right. So we teach him to say, this is basically the shita sateisus niyavamis. Shita sateisus niyavamis means like this: What is the shtika? There's three possibilities for shtika. One possibility I told you, shtika kardas Rabbeinu Tam. Another possibility for shtika is not shtika kodah, but it's shtika that I believe the aid, because it's raglayim ladava, which means to say that it seems to me the fact that I keep quiet, that it's feasible that what you're saying is true. It's feasible, feasibility. That's the second definition of shtika. The third definition of shtika is it's not feasibility. I say I don't even know, but the fact that I didn't say anything, that alone is enough. Okay, it's a formula for shtika, it's just a formula. So there's three possibilities of shtika. Now, the Machaber is going with the possibility of shtika, which is its feasibility. So the Ramah says that before the aid comes...
Is that third possibility saying as if there was no Baal around?
Now, The Ramah says, interestingly enough, he says, the Oz Lakuli Al Mishari, the Bailan, the Mona Moshelahem. Ramah tells us a very unusual halacha, hard to understand. It's difficult to understand. Ramah says we have an Eitzah. Let's say, for instance, an Eid Echad is on his way to tell us that what? That his Tyrus became Tamei. So we call the Baal over, we say, look, there's an Eid Echad is going to appear soon, and he's going to tell you that your Tyrus became Tamei. We're going to tell you what to do. You say you don't believe him. You say you don't believe him. Or the same halacha would be, according to the Ran, that says Shtika is not Kaodor. He holds that Shtika means he's just a Shosek. He's just a Shosek. All right? So, according to the Rambam, same thing. We tell him, say, Eini Yodea. If the man says, Eini Yodea, so the Haggadah say it is nullified. If he keeps quiet, it's going to establish Issa. So we tell the person, we educate him, we say, look, this is the way it goes. If you're going to keep quiet, the aid is going to come along, he's going to say that it's Tameh, it's going to become Tameh. But if you're going to be smart and say you don't believe this aid, or if you're going to say you don't know, Eini Yodea, so then everything's going to be fine. So you be a chacham, and your bezdin comes, and you sing in front of bezdin, the aid comes in, and you say any day, or any ma'amincha. Okay? What kind of halacha is this? Sounds like harama. It's harama. We're trying to establish what the truth of the matter is with regard to these tahiras. So what kind of halacha is this? Eidach ha'nem bisurin. And we're saying we'll teach the person how to avert the aid. What do you do? You learn the sugya, you see that the shtiki goes up, so you don't be a shotet. Doesn't make any sense. It's a very difficult halacha to comprehend. How does this, what kind of halacha is it? Yerechanem bisurim means he has nemonis. We believe him, he establishes halacha. Yeah. To teach a person to get up in basement to say, Eini mamincho, Eini adeya, I mean, it's harama. It's harama sadin. We want to know what the reality is. Was it nikmatar sacha, not nikmatar sacha? We want to see his reaction. If he's a shosek, so then Allah has his name. What does Ramah say? Okay. That's question number one. Okay. Yeah. Let's take a more basic question. With regard to the halacha of Eid Echad Nemon Bisurin, and where do you derive this halacha from? Halacha that everything depends upon, whatever we do almost. So Rashi tries to explain it. Rashi says in Yevamos, Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara deals with the halacha of Eid Echad is Nemon Bisurin, he's going to be believed. So Rashi says like this. Question, as I told you, you have a parsha in the Torah with regard to the Rashi Vachakata Hetev, you have two parshas in the Torah. But with regard to the common everyday halacha of Eid Echad, Nemon Bisurin, there's no source. So there's no source in Kala Torah Kula. Except according to Tosfos, derives it from the Sofer Lo Atzma. But basically, there's no open source. So Rashi says, V'hov vaday pshitulon. This is definite that we believe the Eid Echad. Why? The Samchim, that we rely on the aid. Kol zeman shelo nechshad. As long as he's not suspect, we believe him. That's definite. Why is it so definite? He says, D'ilav hachi, if you're not going to do that, ein l'cha adam ochel mishel chavero. V'ein l'cha adam somech al b'nei beso. Rashi says, because if you're not going to apply this law, this principle of Eid Echad Nemon Bisurin, and it comes out, you're going to have a ridiculous situation. What's the ridiculous situation? It means a person sits down to breakfast, and he doesn't know whether he can eat breakfast. He can't trust his wife, he can't trust his children, and he simply, it's impossible to for him to eat in his house. As the Rashi says, Ein l'cha adam she'ocho mishel chavero. You certainly can't eat by your friend's house. Ein l'cha adam somecho b'nei beiso. All right, so Tais Rishonim says, so what? The Tema, ma'alona bazeh, bazeh davi yizor b'mashiyocho. Plenty of difficult halachas in the Torah. We don't say that, we don't philosophize and say, look, this halacha is too difficult. We're not conservative Jews. We don't determine what God wants. We have to go by the system of the halacha. And if the system's difficult, so okay. Maybe expensive, but you have to set up to weigh them in your house before you have breakfast to make sure that your wife cooked a kosher meal. So what's the problem? So what kind of an argument does Rashi give it? Rashi's argument is like, I mean, it doesn't sound like Kimandle Goma and Shishmaitza. And the person, okay. That's the question number one. Question number two on Rashi, really, question number two on Rashi is from the Gemara in Gittin Daf Beis Amud Beis. All right, the contradiction in Rashi. You don't know whether milk and flesh has got mixed up in the house. You don't know. Become a suffix. So the man's wife says, I'm telling you, it was okay. How do you know? You can't eat. Anytime there's going to be a late, it's a suffix. Anytime there's going to be a late, it's a suffix, you're going to be at a loss. You're not going to be able to handle it. You have to be maimed shnei edim. Okay? That's Taisus Kasha. All right? Because there are plenty of shalos that take place. It's going to come out. You can't eat in somebody else's house, because every time you have a shiloh, you're going to have to say, you can't believe me. Once you don't believe him, that's the end of the practice. Rashi is right about that, yes. First must be nizah b'shiloh, that's a tekash tais yishanim, so he'll make his own breakfast, that's all. Can't believe his wife. So what? It's a tesis, that's why tesis is, it doesn't like that whole concept. He doesn't like the whole concept. Tesis knows that in order to have halacha, you must have a source. Where is the source? So what does tesis say in Gittin? Taisus says the source is the Sofra Lo Atzma. Because what's the Sofra Lo Atzma? So it doesn't mean this. Because, so Taisus says the derivation is from the Sofra Lo Atzma. The Sofra Lo Atzma means a woman is a Nida or actually a Zava. So how do you know how she's counting? It's impossible to know. Impossible to know. So the answer is the Sofra Lo Atzma, you believe us. That's what Taisa says. Okay, Taisa found a source. But Rashi and Gittin contradicts himself. Why? Because Rashi and Gittin says like this. Rashi says in Gittin, Daf Beis Amud Beis, Rashi says, actually there's three Rashis on the question of where Eid Echad is Nemon the Surah. Now one Rashi is in the one I mentioned to you. The next Rashi is a Rashi in Chulin. Rashi in Chulin is Daf Yud Amud Beis. Over there again, Rashi says a little differently. Rashi doesn't say over there because it's impossible to eat by somebody else's house. He gives a different reason. He says why? He says the Kol Yochid the Yochid and Minaso Torah. The Torah believed everybody. How do you know? There's a Vachto Mibkorcho Mitzoncho. Okay, maybe you have to have two Eidim. No. Because for Shachar has been a Bokor of Achli Kornim al Yodov, lo his Kikolamid, Eidim Bedova, lo Tzrechur Torah, Eidim El Lonish Momon, Amisus Bezin, Larayas. So he says, the Shachar has been a Bokor, and the Kornim eat, and there's no Eidim over there, so you see that he's believed. Another funny kind of, it seems to be different derivation than what he says in the Yavamas, the Stira in Rashi. Okay, so you'll tell me the Shagasai said there's no spheres in Rashi, because Rashi can change his mind. But it certainly is not smooth to say that way. We don't make such assumptions. Rashi and Gittin seems to be more like the Rashi, more in line with the Rashi and Chulin. Plus Rashi and Gittin says that how do you know Eidecha Nemen Bisurin? He says, Shereha Mina Torah Kol Echod V'Echod Yisrael, the Torah believed every Jew, Alaf Rasha Struma, in the time of, and if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a lock of truma, and in Bisman Shabbos Mikdash Kayom, you have a lock of truma. Bisman says Rabbanan, but when is the Raisa, the Torah believes the person that he took, he was Mafresh Truma, and Shchita, and Nikra Gidva Chelev. All right? So again, like the Torah believed him. Where do you see that? What do the Torah believe in? That's what we're trying to prove the Torah believed him. Just because, how does it actually know the Torah believed him? Right. Does the Torah believe him? You can't believe Rashi, the Torah believed him. He's not Erech HaNam Bisurin. This is Halacha already. He has to bring a Raya. So the Rashi of Chakata Heite. So Rashi says that the Torah somehow believes him. Taisus attacks Rashi because Taisus says that the cases Rashi quotes are not good. Because the case of Shchita is really not Erech HaNam Bisurin. The case of Afrashas Truma is not Erech HaNam Bisurin. Why? Because over there it's a Chazak Yisura. So what is Rashi talking about? Where it's a Chazak Yisura with the previous status, so then, we don't believe him. The only reason we believe him is because of another mechanism of biyado, because it's under his control. Right? So if that's the case, because it's biyado, so Rashi shouldn't have mentioned this by Erech HaNem Bisurin. As a matter of fact, a minute later, when Rashi says it's a schazek isura, because this case is Eishes Ish, and Eishes Ish is a schazek isura, because she's established from the moment of condition as an Eishes Ish, so Rashi himself wakes up and he says, what about the case of Shchita?
So what does Rashi say?
No, over there it's Biyado.
So Rashi sees this himself. Before he considers this the most basic case of Erechanem Bisurin.
And later he says, no, it's not the most basic case. You can't derive anything from that. Why? Because over there's Biyado, like Taisva says. Is Rashi says himself Mineo Bay? That's Taisva's Kasha.
The Taisva rejects the first Rashi and he keeps the second Rashi. That's it.
Okay. So that's really the second question. Second question is to understand Shitas Rashi. All right? What? The third question is a question that Taisvis raises in Kedushin. Okay? Taisvis raises a simple question in Kedushin. He says, what's the whole Gemara's question? In the case of Kedushin, where somebody comes along and says what? Nitmu Tarasecha. Man comes along and he says, I happen to know a fact that you might be interested in, namely that your Tarus became Tomei. So the Gemara says that what's the formula in Kedushin? The formula is Eid Echad plus Shtika. All right? So he says, Akasha, what do you mean? It's low Eschazik. It's not a question of Eschazik Yisurah. So Eid Echad then be Surah from the Sugya of getting the Def Beis and the Beis. So what's the problem? Okay? From getting Beis and the Beis, Eid Echad then be Surah. So what's the whole Gemara in Kedushin talking about? So Taisvis answers. Taisvis answers. And by the way, you'd have the same problem with the with what? With the Gemara in getting Nefna and Dalit on the day. Eidechon and Bisurin. What's the problem? What do you have to have the formula for? So Taisha's answer is like this. It says, Eidechon and Bisurin on getting Nef Beis on the days only means Leheta. It's only Leheta. If the Eidechon comes along and says it's Mutter, he's believed. The Eidechon comes along and says it's Treif, no good. Kosher, we believe it. Treif, we don't believe it. That's what Taisha says. Eidechon and Bisurin is limited. And that's why Paskin Shulchan Aruch, Erech HaNem B'Surin is dafka lehatir, but not le'isin. So the question is, of course, I mean, why should it be that way? Why should it be that way? Yeah, why should it be that way? Okay. There is a third question, if you want to mention something we mentioned before. Third question is the spheres asugis between getting on Beis on the Beis and Nun Dalar on Beis, with regard to Biyodo. Okay, that was the question raised. What is this Biyodo? Biyodo on the Beis works in the past. On Nundalar on the days, it's Bedafkin, the present, according to Baya, or else in the past plus the first opportunity. That's the formula. Okay. So that's a third, that is a third question. And so you have basically you have three questions. The Ramah, the difficult Ramah of you teach a person how to get around the halacha. Then the question of what? Rashi's Shita, we don't understand. Where does Rashi get this from? What's the three Rashis? And then the question of the Biyodo. What is Biyodo? Biyodo getting the Beis and Beis and Nundalar on the Beis. Those three questions. And the last question we'll have to wait for. The last question is the question on the Shita Saran. The Shita Saran, which seems to be almost inexplicable with regard to the formula of Shtika. So the main sugya we have to concentrate on is the sugya in Kedushin. The sugya in Kedushin where the formula is Agodas Eid Echad plus Shtika Sabal. Let's just go through a little bit further, go through a little more of that sugya. Forget about the sugya in getting the Beis on the Beis, and you can't forget about Nandalat on the Beis because that's tied in a little bit, but let's just take a look. I'm trying. Taste the Samachayim at Beis has a whole Shulchan Aruch worked out how it works. If we are able to explain, to uncover the sugyas properly, to understand the sugyas properly, that Shulchan Aruch should make sense. If it doesn't, then it's just a matter of complications. I mean, in this case, in that case, in this all cases, well, what kind of sense? This one was Biyodo, now it is Biyodo. What kind of criteria does Taste use? This formulation. But what is the Svara behind it? Okay, so if we understand the sugyas, everything should become clear. What the requirements are and how they work. Okay, so let's leave the complications. Let's try to concentrate on the highlights of the sugya. Okay? So you have the sugya in the Samach Hei on the Beis in Kedushin, where the formula is Agodas Eid plus Shtik. Okay? So, let's take the Ran. The Ran is the one that's the most thorough. What dach is the Ran on? Chofchas, okay. So the Ran says like this. The Ran quotes the Gemara, quotes the sugya, And he says, Zui Sugyasa Gemara. Okay, Zui Sugyasa Gemara. Now, the Daikinan Allah. He says, and now we start analyzing this Gemara. Mi damrinim begitin perakani zokin. Hoya osim obataros v'omalo tarashisim chon nitnu is nemon. The Sugyan Gittin has the same exact case. The same exact case. Nitnu tarasecha. The Erechot is saying that what? That your tyrus became tummy. Same exact case. But over there we say that what? What do we say? Ain on them on. He is not believed if he just says, Nitmu Tarasecha of Akshinin, Maishno Resho, Maishno Sefer. Why isn't he Nemon over there? If he says, the first case, two cases in Gittin. The first case where he says, Tyros, the Tyros that I'm working on right now is Tomei. There he is believed. But if he says, the Tyros I worked with you yesterday, he's not believed. Vama Baya, Kol Shibiyad on them on. Whatever is under his control, he's believed. And over here, what are we saying? Over here has nothing to do. The case and condition was he was where he walks by in the street. He's an observer. He's an observer. He's an outsider. And over here, what do we say? It's not biyado, and it'll be Nemon. It will be Nemon. So it's a contradiction. All right? That's the basic contradiction with the contradiction explained. The tears have been a tamzal. The besugin ain't a time on mission the shosik. Ushtikiko dor damye. Vahol some mari baomer ain't yodea. And mishumachi lo mehemon ella bemidi de biyodo. Alright? So Benatam says, there's no problem. In our sugi, it's speaking where the person was a shosik, where he admitted. And we have a klal that shtikiko dor damye. If somebody comes against somebody else with a tain in court, and the other person is silent, so it's an admission. Silence equals admission. So over here also, since the aid is magid, the aid testifies, and the person that is the owner, the bailim, is shosek, so shtika kodos, so he admits. So that's it. But over there speaking, well, he doesn't admit anything. He verbalizes, outspoken. He says, any day, I don't know. So there, the halacha is, he's not believed, unless you have the mechanism of the yellow. Fine. That's basically the Rabbeinu Tam, okay? We don't have to go through the whole case. I'm trying to minimize. Now, of course, what's the difficulty on Rabbeinu Tam? So he goes through the whole sugya. Again, let's take a look at Choftes and Aleph. We'll skip over to Choftes and Aleph, all right? So he says it like this. Zui shitaso zal. Third line, Zui Shita, this is really Shita Sarbena Tam. Vikobo Kahayasa Tuva. Okay? And they regurgitated on this statement. The Dami Kamanda Machula Meya Uchli Buchla. As if they hit Rabbeinu Tam 100 times with a stick. They beat him up. The Imkain, he says, if that's the case, Rabbeinu Tam is, if we're going to accept Rabbeinu Tam, that the man admits an admission, he's silent, and silence equals admission. My lishna the neman. What does it mean, the eid echad is believed? Ein ze machmas namu noso shel eid, ela mishum shtikosa shel baldara, shtiko da. Because the bailam was shosek, shtiko da. So if a man will come, if I'd ask Rabbeinu Tam, a person will come in front of Beis Din, and he'll say that my tahiros in my house became tummy. They're not going to believe him? Of course they're going to believe him. Yes. What's missing? Is biyodo? Biyodo, he owns it. Certainly biyodo. So there's no question. We know that's a given. If a man comes and says, I'm telling you my tahiros are tummy, we don't believe him. Of course you believe him. Biyodo is everything. So the kashan ben tam is what kind of, once we say shtika kodor, the aid is useless. The aid is superfluous. He's absolutely, we don't need him. He has no use. He has no function. The man is Moses. I admit that my tyrus is Tomei, so the whole sig is unnecessary. That's the kasha against Rabbeinu Tam. That's the main kasha against Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? All right. Then the Ran goes to the possibility, which I mentioned before, that the Shitas Rishonim who maintain that the sugya in Gittin and the sugya in Kedusha is the same sugya, but it's with a complication. All right? Yeah, because there's a chazok after kind of chazok. Forget, we're not going to go through that. Now we'll take the Ran himself. But the Ran
the Ron brings back the Rabbeinu Tam, but he brings him back in his own form. Okay, the Ron brings back the Rabbeinu Tam, but he brings him back in his own form. Let's take a look at the Ron. Okay? Take a look at it. The Ron's list. Yeah, where is it at? The Lean Nearing. Okay? It's about a little more than halfway down. Okay? The Lean Nearing Divrei Rabbeinu Tam Zalika. Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is the essential pshat. What does he mean? What does he mean the pshat is the essential pshat? In other words, what he's saying is that there are not two sugyas in Shas and Erech Adam and Bisurin, like the Shitas of Ramban and the Rashbo, I think it is, right? Shitas Ramban and Rashbo, that there are two sugyas in Shas. No, but there are three sugyas in Shas, because that's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that the sugya in Gittin is a different sugya because you don't have the formula of Erecha plus Shtika, it's a different formula, and the sugya in Kiddush is a different sugya. He says, that's what I maintain. I hope Rabbeinu Tam was right, that there are three sugyas in Shas, not two. Okay. Why? Mishum de lishne de tzrichas amuchach mishum de shtika ko doadamya. Because from the lashon of the tzrichas, where the Gemara says, why do you have to have three cases? What are three cases? You have nitnu tarasecha, you have shochan nirva. What was the third case? Third case was? What was it? Chelv, chal tchelv, edechar chal tchelv. So the Gemara says that the reason why you need these three cases, and that's Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara lends itself to Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, because the Gemara seems to imply that why does the Mishnah have to list three cases? Why not one case is enough? The Mishnah tries to save words because you have to memorize the Mishnah, but the Mishnah lists the three cases. Why three cases? Because of the fact that we don't know whether Shtika Kol Ador is really so in every case. Like, for instance, the case, you'll tell me the case of Achal Tachelev, what's the Ezgut Shrikh Vigal? You can't tell me the case of Mutar Asacha. So I'll say the reason why I was quiet is, so I'll say, I don't care if it's tamei. What's the difference? So I won't eat it b'tayro. Okay. So it doesn't bother me. It's not a total loss. You tell me the case of Shochan Nirva, so I'll say, look, maybe he was quiet because he doesn't care, so he won't bring it from his Mizbeach. Right. Bring it over because he doesn't care about Kabbonis. So that's why I'd have the case of what? Of Chela. So Chela, he certainly cares. So you see the Gemara has to tell you that the reason why, well, you shouldn't think the reason why he's showsick is because he simply is nonchalant about it. He doesn't care about it. He's not concerned about it. You shouldn't think that's the reason. But the fact that he's a showsick shows you that he really admits. That's Rabbeinu Tam's powerful riot from the Gemara. The Gemara, it seems clear that it's shtiki required. It's not just a mice of shtika balma, but it's a real shtika kador. It's a shtika kador. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam. It's shtika kador. Okay. All right? So now we're into the question of what the shtika means. Three possibilities of shtika: shtika kador, Tesis and Yevamos has another concept of shtika, Raglayim Ladover, it seems feasible to him, and now we're going to take the Ron. Okay. So the Ron says like this. So the Ron says, from there it would seem that what? That it depends upon the shtika. Okay. Yeah. So he says, the chayim matan divrei Rashi zal. He's right. If you look at Rashi, Rashi seems to learn the sugya the same way. Okay. The perkish rabban nami muchach shtik gadol. Umay de makshi alo alei. The question that they ask on Rabbeinu Tam, milishna de nemon. Because what does it have to do with nemon? Why do you have the nemonis of the eight? De ilu mishum shtik gadol asin in alo. Ein zetoli ben nemon asa shaleid. Ela beho de osa shabal dolo. Why it's not totally the nemon? What are you going to need the eight echot for? He says, lesser. This is no question. Why? She'ilu ha-yoha'ed gazlon de'lo mehemon. If, for instance, I know this one witness is not a good witness, because he's a crook, he's a thief, so he's posulatus. Lo ha-yom eschayev mitnei shtikuso. Shtikuso. So then the person shtika wouldn't help at all. Alright? The dafke beit kosher udamrin anochi shekol shehalo shosekim nemon. Because wherever the other person, no, as the Ron is saying, it's not because of the framework of what? Of the dos baldin. It's not operating in time of dos baldin, but it's operating in time of godos shalay. Ah, you have a dos baldin? Alright. He says, well, you have a dos baldin? We'll soon see. So it's like this. He says like this. The chidishu shechidsha Torah be'isurim. The Torah made a new halacha b'negei Yisurim. A chiddush. What's the chiddush? Umuchachin le hasam. Midichsivo hode love mikol makom. All right. Eid echad the mehem raisim anole. I'm not going to rest. Yelid nefem. Okay. Tell me mikol. Just let me get through one thing. Yeah. It's a separate halacha. Ma'ishan. Tell me shemishi. Okay. Zui sugis a gemara shem, okay? Ubevadai afilo lemai dam nin hasam dil mishum dishtik shtikoy do dam ye ein atam elabit nein nemu nasa shalei the chol heiche de shosik, he says the mechze kemoda ha eid nemon. Alright? He says, because wherever he's quiet and it looks like he's admitting, so then it appears like he's admitting, then the eid is nemon. It's not because of his hodah. Says, certainly if he knows, he's certainly chayev. So you must say it means he doesn't know. So the halach over there by Eid Echot says that you're chayev a korban, it can't mean where he himself knows. He himself knows it's pasha, but it means where he himself doesn't know. So if he doesn't know, so what is the shtika? So this is Xeris HaKasa. He says, Shema Tam Neshanu Dan Al Kocho Ho Do'oso Kishtika. Alright. Now let's see, he goes into the game, comes back to it. El Al Kochen Afilu L'may Damri Yindil Mishum V'ishtika Shtika Ko Doya Damya. Even though we say that the reason is because of the shtika, Mipnei Ne'amunoso Shel Eid Mischayev V'lo Mipnei Hodo'aso. It's not because of his admission, it's because of the aid. Fine. V'chi Aminu M'may Nishim D'mehem An Hochi Kamrini M'may D'mehem On Afilu. Okay, I'm going to try to get the word to you. Elohecha D'ishtik V'gzeres HaKosav Hu B'Yisurin. The separate Xeris HaKosav by Yisurin. Now what? Mirabuya do hoda shetahesh di kosa shall baldova gabe erechot kodo. Velamin adin. It's not a halacha. What the Ran says is that what? That it's Xeris HaKosav. But what's the Xeris HaKosav? What is Xeris HaKosav? That his shtik is kodo. And since his shtik is kodo, so the erechot is nemon. I mean, what is the Ran? So what do you need? What's the formula? What's the formula of Eid Echot plus Shtika? The Shtika is worthless. How am I going to tell me it's Xeris HaKosav that what? That Shtika Kodo. So now what are you Eid Echot for? That's the Xeris HaKosav. Well, what is the one accomplishing? What is he accomplishing? And the whole thing is absurd. What's the whole idea? What do you mean? What kind of Xeris HaKosav is this? Does it make any sense to you? There's a loch of Shtika Kodo, which is a din that if I am silent, it's an admission. I acquiesce, I yield. That makes sense. If you're in court and somebody makes a claim against you and you're silent, it's an admission. It's a sensible halacha. But over here, you're telling me the man really doesn't know. He actually doesn't know. He's an idiot there. But because he happened to be quiet, it's considered as a hodah. So lamanashach, if that's the Xeris HaKosav, it's considered like a hodah. So then you don't need erechot anymore. Elamai, this is the Xeris HaKosav. It doesn't say that it's like a hodah. So what is it? I mean, how did the Ran answer the question with this strange Xeris HaKosav? He makes up an absurd Xeris HaKosav. And everything fits in, but it doesn't fit in even if I accept the Xeris HaKosav, doesn't fit in. Because the Xeris HaKosav is Shtika Kodah, so it means that it's really Hodah. So now, fine, so now you don't need Echad anymore. You see?
Could you say that
the Hodah creator? There's no, okay. There he goes, I saw this. Once I said, all right, now. The law min adin. He says, this is a special Xeris HaKosav and it's not min adin. Sharei ain donin tain b'momo. You hope not. I mean, you can't be done. By a moment, you can't do such a thing. By a moment, be crazy altogether. He said, a man with show sick, and he really doesn't know. And it's Xeris HaKosav. Take his money away. Okay. Ella b'Yisurin b'Lvad. It's only this Xeris HaKosav, which, I mean, we don't understand. Doesn't make any sense. But fortunately, it was limited only to Yisurin. The nimtzo shemitnei emunosa shel eidu, v'lo mitam odo'oso. So it comes up because it's Xeris HaKosav, it's the eid. Shafilu hu yadeh ba'atzma shloshosak mit nei ador. Chayev. He's still going to be chayev a carbon. Why? Even though he knows. U'mishum achas is shapir lishne de neman. Everything works out according to him. Why? Okay. Yeah. Let me see. Come back to it again. In the end, it's like this. Vila b'mamon, he says again. Vila b'mamon, he says, what's that, a formula? He's finished. That's it. You certainly don't say this. Anyways, so he says, he goes, so he's Samya, and then in the end he adds something. He says, the last two lines, I even believe the kol sheshosak b'shor sheheyid ho'ed havishti koso kehodor, that wherever he was shosak, when the aid is magid, he says his shtik is like a hodor, afal pishehu lo yoda b'dovar klum, even though he has no way of knowing at all about what happened. Like, for instance, you have the case of Husamya. There was the person that was a blind man that was had a photographic memory. So he used to come in front of who? In front of Rava, right? In front of Rava? Shmuel. So he used to come and he was a photographic memory, he'd recite all the Mishnayos. And Shmuel would use him as a material source, and he would analyze. He analyzed the Mishnayos. So one day they saw he's a little late. He's late at arriving to the base of Medrash. It's getting dark. So they sent out somebody to find him. So this fellow went to find him on one road, and he was going back, he was leaving meantime on the other road. He came to his house, and he saw that his wife was living with somebody else. So he came back to the base of Medrash, and he told them what happened. So the whole problem in the Gemara, what's the look? Is his wife also to the Sami or not? You say that he's Neman, not Neman, Shtikin, is a Shtikin, Neman, hold it. So you need two, Kibetrei, Kibetcha, whatever. So in that case, it's impossible for this blind man to know what happened, actually. All right? So nevertheless, we apply the same rules and formulas over there. So even where it's impossible for the man to know, so in such a case, what value could a shtick have? It doesn't mean anything. Nevertheless, the Ran says, I maintain that even if he cannot know about it, his shtick is considered like a hodor. That's really strange. Just because the man was silent, and the silence is absolutely worthless, because he could not have any possibility of knowing. No possibility whatsoever of knowing, but with Xeris Akasha comes along, a new Xeris Akasha somewhere, that tells you that Shtik is, where's the Xeris Akasha? I don't know what sense of make, I know, but that's the Xeris Akasha. He's shosik, he can't know, he's quiet, the Erechot is magid, is made, that's it. That's the run. Unbelievably difficult run. It's just hard to talk about. Okay. Yeah. What I want to do now is like this. Let's try to understand the Rabbeinu Tam, okay? Forget about the run. Let's try to understand, because I'd like to agavorcha explain the Rabbeinu Tam, and then we'll come back to Rashi and the Ran. Okay, that's the order. I'd like to understand the Rabbeinu Tam. After Rabbeinu Tam's on the sugya, it'd be nice to understand what his sheet is. The kashan Rabbeinu Tam is one thing. The formula for Eid Echod and Shtika and Taisvis, the Bali Taisvis one, not like the Ran's Rabbeinu Tam, but the Rabbeinu Tam and Taisvis. There's two Rabbeinu Tams. The Rabbeinu Tam the Ran invented, and the Rabbeinu Tam that you find the Bala Teisvah itself from. Okay, so let's go back to the original Rabbeinu Tam. The question on the Rabbeinu Tam was, how could if you shtika kodor, the man is moda, so he should be Neman. Why should he be Neman? He should be Neman because he's Neman al shelo. You could say the sugya in Gittin gives him Nemanus. It's biyodo. It's whatever. It's certainly biyodo. It's tachas yodo. It's zon. So since he's Neman, so what do you have to have? What? The Eid Echad. The Eid Echad is superfluous. Okay, that's the question. All right. Let's take a look at the Sugya in Kedushin. The Sugya in Kedushin starts before on Daf Samachay Amar Aleph. Okay? Samachay Amar Aleph. There the Gemara has an interesting question. Gemara's question like this. A person is getting married. Person's getting married, he needs two eidim. Two witnesses. Okay. even if the groom and the bride are mode that they admit they got married, but they got married privately, there were no eidim, no witnesses, it's worthless. Worthless, okay. So, now the Gemara has a question. Gemara's question is, what if you have an eid echad, one witness, not two, one witness, plus the fact that the two, the bride and the groom, admit that they got married, but it was done in front of an eid echad. So what's the halacha in such a case? Is it good or is it not good? That's machlekes amaran. It's a machlato simple. You think, I mean, you throw it out. You say, somebody tell you this, you say, this is crazy. What do you mean? You need to wait him. But the Gemara wasn't so sure. It's machlekes. All right, we finally conclude that that it's not good. It's paskin, it's not good. But there were amaroyim that held that it's good. And the Gemara has all a bay about this. Interesting thing. So take a look. So Rashi tries to explain, what kind of a question is this? You always need to wait. So Rashi like this. Rashi says, Samachem et Aleph, Dibur HaMaschil Mal. Okay? Hod Sanyein Choshishin Mishum Delo Mehemoni. Alright? So Rashi says like this. Rashi says that we say if two people admit that they got married, that it's worthless. So Rashi says, why do we say this? Do we say this because of the fact? The reason why it's worthless is because we don't believe them. But over here you have the eight. So you have the eight. All right, what does that mean? I don't know. Let's see. Because Kedushin, you can't have Kedushin. That's the way we understand. You can't have a Chalos Kedushin without Eidim. That's called Eidetiyun. Without these Eidim, there's nothing to place. The Yalef Dova Dova Mimoman. And you derive this from Lo Yokum Eidechot Be'ish Alpishnei Eidim Yokum Dova. Okay? And Arayas, we have an equation between Arayas and Mominus. And Arayas can't move without what? Without two Eidim, just like Mominus. So, of course, so throw it out. Right? So throw it out. Of course, this side of the Abaya seems the only one that makes sense. What's the other side? The other side doesn't hold from Dova Dova Mimoman. They don't hold from Gzera Sheva. Is Machlekes whether you have Gzera Sheva or not? I don't understand. Okay. Now take a look at Rashi later. Rashi later says like this. The Eleka Eidim. See Rashi's Eleka Eidim. Vafilu Moda, and even if he admits, Amay Yasub Krovosel Piatmo, how could it be us if there were no Eidim at all? Halo Eidim Kedushin Afilu Dvorov. Even according to his words, there's no Kedushin. The Inami Omar Be'ed Echad have a Kedushin, even though you say Be'ed Echad that it is a Kedushin, if you might say that way, you can hold that way. The Shishneim Modim, that's only if they both agree and you have an Eid Echad. The Ein Eid Echad, the Ein Eid Echad, Lo Amrit. Definitely without an Eid Echad, you can't say this condition. That's crazy completely. Why? The Eid Echad Choshev L'Chayev Shvua, but then Imamadus. Of course, the Eid Echad is very good to be L'Chayev an opposing an opponent, another litigant, the Shvua by Mammon. Okay, if the person says, one person says you owe me $100, another person says I don't owe you a cent, and the Eid Echad says you do owe him $100, so the person, the opposing Baldin, he has to swear. The one that says, the one that denies it has to swear. So an Eid Echad is effective in creating an obligation of Shura. He says, Hilkoch be'erva nami choshev l'skayim kedushin. Here, it's funny, Rashi explains the Abaya here better than he did before. Hilkoch be'erva nami choshev l'skayim kedushin b'fona. Therefore, Kedushin is valid by an Eid Echad. Ubilvachi shneim odin. But they must both admit, without the admission, is no good. Okay, what's the form? What kind of a formula is this? All right. Well, let me ask a question first. You learned the sugya, samachem et aleph, and samachem et beis. All right? Now, let's take the side that holds that it's dova dova mimamet. Okay? It's dova dova mimamet. So that's why you need al pishneidim yakum dova. Right? So by mamet you require two eidim. Okay? So therefore by kedushin you require two eidim. Right? Therefore by kedushin you require two eidim. But you have an interesting story in samachem et beis. Very interesting story in the Gemara. What's the story? Story is like this. Marzutra v'ravado sabo b'nei d'rav mori bar iser. These two people, Marzutra and Ravado, poured nechsayu b'adei adadi. So they wanted to divide the nechasim. They had property that they owned jointly, and they wanted to separate, make separate ownerships. So also the comment of Ravashi. So they came in front of Ravashi. They said like this: Amulei al pishne edim amarachmana al pishne edim. Of course, that's the parasha of Mamet. That's your test. Amarachmana the boy le mahadalo motzi hadri. So behu va'anan lo hadri. Odilma lo mekayma milsa ela besadri. He says, what is the halacha of al pishne edim yakum dava? Is the halacha al pishne edim yakum dava halacha what? You have to clarify that whenever we perform a monetary chalos, so really the monetary, whenever you effectuate a monetary change, we divide. If you divide, it's like mekachomemka. So when you're dividing, you're changing the legal status from a joint ownership to separate ownership. So now we know you need two witnesses. What is the term you need two witnesses? I need two witnesses because in court, I have to be able to substantiate if later there are problems. Or no, without two witnesses, there's no division of properties. The division of properties requires two witnesses intrinsically. Otherwise, nothing takes place. What's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is it a de biro or is it a de kium? Right? So what did he answer him? So that was the question. Should we have two aid in present or not? So what does the Gemara answer? So the Gemara answers, lo ivru sadi elo l'shikri. The only reason that the Torah created Adam is because of liars. Because people deny what they did monetarily, they deny it later time. So what do you see? So it's Bira. So therefore, yes, sir. So you see. So now I just ask a simple question. And by the way, the halach of kiyum, the rishonim that hold that all this that we say every sadi el shikra doesn't apply to a king and suda. The rishit is all by king and suda. You really need to weigh them for kiyum adava. Interesting. What's the difference? Because over there, the chalos and the gavra. Where the chalos, to create a chalos chiv, the king and suda, the chalos chiv and the gavra, there you need to wait them. Hey, the king. Taisha says no. But anyway, that's a sign of wedding. Okay. But let's go back to the sugya. Now we see from this Gemara that the concept of Edom, of Alpishne Edom, Yakum Dover, is only why? Only because of Bura. So what is the Gemara saying? We learn out Dover, Dover, Mi Mamon. By Mamon itself, it's Lo Ivri Sadi Elul Shikra. So my condition should be fine. My condition should be fine. Yeah, simple question. All right. And the Gemara only preoccupies with itself with the question later, where the Gemara says that is Odor's Baldin valid by condition. The Gemara asks that question. It's funny. The Gemara's question. What over here? That's another funny thing. First, the Gemara talks about the Gemara assumes as a basic premise, as a simple assumption, that by Kedushin you need 8 Echod plus Shtika. Right? And then the Gemara later asks, why doesn't Ados Bal Din work by Kedushin David of Mimam? I mean, these questions should be handled before. It sounds like the Gemara is going backwards. First we say, no, you need 8 Echod, that's for sure. And then the Gemara wakes up and says, what about Ados Bal Din? What do you mean? We just said before, that's what Rashi says, it can't be that way. Okay? So what's the chart? The answer is very simple. The answer is that al pishnei edim yakum davar by mamon, there are two halachas in al pishnei edim yakum davar in mamon and by mamon. You see, the halacha is like this. The halacha is that there are two ways that I could know. The halacha demands knowledge of an event. Without knowledge of an event, I'm trying to develop Ben Tam. Without knowledge of an event, I'm saying, according to Rabbi Natan, without knowledge of an event, there is no halachic phenomenon. Okay? In other words, like this. I don't know what occurred. Now, the Torah has two ways. If I don't know what occurred, so then there's nothing there. The halacha has to be relevant to someone. If it can't just be an abstract philosophical concept. It has to be relevant to someone. So, how is the thing relevant? So, halacha is that there's two ways. One way is yedias atzmo. I myself know that's the truth. If I know that's so halachically it's real. That's one way. But now there's a second way. Second way is, that's primary knowledge. Second way is through secondary knowledge. It means somebody else tells me that it's so. How does that work? The secondary knowledge process? That's halacha. There's where you have the parsha of Shnei Edim. You need two witnesses to validate, and then the Darashta v'chakarta heitev, and that establishes the halachic reality. Okay. Now, when the Gemara says you learn out Dover, Dover, so there's two halachas in Mammon. One halach in Mammon is that the reality of the transaction takes place as long as it's a reality for you, it's considered an effective transaction. But now there's another halacha. The other halacha is how do we establish the reality of the event where I am not a first-hand observer? So what's the halacha? You have the whole parsha, al pishnei edim. Okay, that establishes the halachic reality. When the Gemara says, dova dova mi mamon, what is the Gemara saying, really? The Gemara is saying that with regard to Kedushin, it's not... Which halacha is the Gemara comparing to? An exereshav of dova dova mi mamon. Not the reality of the mamon. That's not al pishnei edim yakum dova. What is the pasuk saying? Al pishnei edim yakum dova is speaking about which reality? The reality that is established through secondary sources, other than the primary observer, secondary sources. And that, the halacha states clearly that, why, what do you require? Question eight. So that's why it's no question. The Gemara on the Samachayim at Beis, where it says that the in order to have a monetary transaction, lo ivri sadi elo l'shikra, what is the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is saying that transactions don't require edikim. But the pasuk of our pishnei and yakum dover is talking about the fact, why doesn't it require edikim? Because you have primary observers. It's a reality benegeah to the primary observers, and that's it. But the pasuk isn't talking about primary observers. What is the pasuk talking about by Dina Mominus? It's talking about Apishneidim Yakum Dover. How do you establish the reality of a transaction when not benegeah to primary observers, benegeah to others, objective establishment, objective verification. So how do you do that? Apishneidim. When the Gemara learns out Dover, Dover, Mimamun, what is the Gemara learning out? What is the Gemara learning out Dover, Dover, Mimamun? It's learning out the halacha from al pishnei edim. What is pasuk al pishnei edim or shlosh edim? Yakum dova. It's learning it out from what? It's learning it out from which halacha? The halacha of establishing a reality b'negeya the rest of the whole world, not a subjective reality as a primary observer. The pasuk is not talking about that. That's what the Gemara means. Lo ivri sadi elo l'shikra, which means the whole pasuk of al pishnei edim yakum dova is not talking about a personal reality. It's talking about the reality objective, establishing an objective reality. And from that halacha I derive, that's the halacha from which I derive dova dova mi mamon. So by Arias, what's the halacha? The halacha by Arias is that there is no reality other than what?
The objective.
Exactly. Other than the objective. You can't use the personal primary observer reality. But there is another halacha of Shavya Nafshe Chatich Yisrael. That's a separate halacha. That fills in the gap of where a person is. But anyway, so the halacha of Dova Dova Min Mamon, what does it mean? It's Dova Dova Min Mamon B'Nogeya what? B'Nogeya the Pasuk of Al Pishnei Edim Yakum Dova, which means what? In order to establish an objective reality, you must work with the reality of what? Of Shnei Edim. Okay? So therefore, by Kiddushin, the halacha's kedushin is dova sheba'erva. In order to establish the dova sheba'erva, in order to establish the kedushin, what do you require? You require which method? Not the primary method, but the objective method of al pishnei edim yakum dova. That's why there's no kashrut. Dova dova min mamon is a limud from one aspect of mamon. Which aspect of mamon? The halacha of mamon b'negeya to establishing objective reality. That's the pasuk al pishnei edim yakum dova. And the Gemara says, that pasuk, of course, is only lo revelus lo l'shikri. But that's a mechanism. It's a separate mechanism. It's a separate mechanism of establishing reality. It's not just a mere clarification. It's a separate mechanism of establishing what the reality is. Bezdin has to know the reality. Okay? Now, what I want to say in Rabbeinu Tam is like this. The halacha is that al pishnei edim yakum dova is not merely a clarification, but the halacha is there is no such phenomena as a halachic event unless it's nogeya to somebody. Okay? Sounds like the philosophical question of if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to make a noise, right? Okay, yeah. Alright. But what it means like this, that any halachic event has no value, you see, unless it relates to somebody. Okay. Now, we'll get back to that, because I forgot something. Let me just answer Rashi. So what does Rashi say, really? What does Rashi say? So Rashi says that, now what's the Chakir? That's what Rashi says. There's no question that by Kedushin you can't say what? By Kedushin. You can't say that if they're both moda that it's a good kedushin. Why? Because Dovah Dovah Mimamim teaches that what do you require? Objective reality. Okay? Objective reality. Now, what's the question of Eid Echad? What's the question of Eid Echad? Because the halacha is that Eid Echad is considered objective reality. How do you know that? Because by Shvua, by Mamon, you see it's considered an objective reality because of Machayev Shvua. But the only thing is it can't be Motzi Mamon. Why can't he be Motzi Mamon? Because the halacha is, in objective reality, you require verification. That's the halacha of Shnei Edim. Shnei Edim is not just an objective testimony of an aid. Plus, two. Why two? Because the halacha is, you need Nimtzu Devrei Mechuvanim. You have to have verification. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you have an Eid Echad, which is an objective method of establishing what the halachic reality is, plus you have verification from the fact that he admits, so now that's Dovah Dovah Mimamon, that's fine. All we learn out from Dovah Dovah Mimamon is what? That in order to establish Kedushin, what do you require? The objective method. Now, the Gemara says, Eid Echad is valid by where? By Mamon. It's considered an objective phenomenon because it's Machayev Minashvur. You can't be Motzi Mamon. Why? Because there's no verification. But over here, if I have the Eid Echad plus verification, so now my objective method is complete. So that is Dovah Dovah Mimamon. That's good as two Eidim. That's one, so that's the side of the Abaye that holds a what? That one is good. Okay. The other side says no. What does the other side say? Rashi says you can't say that. Why? Because Odilma Mishum Lein Kedushin Chom Below Eidim V'Yalav Dovah Dovah Mimamon Ksivarayas Eves Dovah. Yeah. What is the what's the other side? The other side is like this. The other side is that the Xeris HaKasas, you notice it goes into the Pasuk. What it means like this. That the limud is not simply that you must have an objective method, but you need the exact method. The exact method that's effective by Mammon. What's the exact method that's effective by Mammon? Only Shnei Edim. Eid Echad is not effective. So therefore, you can't make this combination of Eid Echad plus verification. And now you objectify it. That's you derive that on your own. But actually, the lima from the Pasuk is, what is the effective method by Mammon? It's not Eid Echad. Shtika by Eid Echad doesn't make any sense. If he's Modus, then there's no Todos Balin. Okay? Just a second. So over there, what is the method? The method is Dafke Shnei Edim. That's the question. The question is, is it any method? Can I simply go over to Mammon and put together my objective method? Have the Eid Echad as objective? Plus verification? Or no? The halacha is you must use that mechanism which is effective by Mammon. What is the mechanism effective by Mammon? Shnei Edim. You see, why does the Gemara bring in Hadoras Baldin later? I want to answer that question. Why does the Gemara bring in Hadoras Baldin? Because what's the halacha of Hadoras Baldin by Mammon? It's an interesting thing. What's the halacha of Hadoras Baldin by Mammon? The halacha of Hadoras Baldin by Mammon is not simply a halacha. That because he admits it's Hadoras Baldin Kneida Eidim Dami. It means that by Mammon, his subjective admission is considered an objectification of what he's of the Taina. So Hadoras Baldin Kneida Eidim Dami is in which realm? It's in the realm of objective phenomena. That's why the Gemara raises the question later, because it has nothing to do with it at this point. The Gemara first knows that by condition you need an objective method. There's no question about that. That's Dovah Dovah Mimamon. The only question Gemara has is Eid Echad plus what? Plus Adar is also an objective method. Would be an objective method by Mammon. Were it possible? Would be, right? Or no, you need the Dafka, that type which the Torah uses as a clincher in Mammon, which is two Eidim, right? But now the Gemara raises another question. It's objective, but Adar is Baldin by a Canadian dummy. It wasn't Canadian dummy. It means that's objective. So why can it work by condition two? That's the Gemara's kasha. You see? That's the Sugya Gemara. Okay? That's the Sugya Gemara. So now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what I want to just add is one thing. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there are two realities. There's a reality b'negeya, the observer himself, okay? And then you don't need lo yochum edach alpishnei edim yochum dover. You don't need that, okay? Then there's a reality which requires objectification. Right? Now, I'll ask you a question. Question is, this Sugyas HaGemara, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a continuation of the previous Gemara. So what is the Gemara going on? It's going on the halacha of Eid Echad plus Shtika, plus Adar. It's the same thing as by Kedushin. So what parsha is the Rabbeinu Tam working under? Is he working under the halacha of Eid Echad Nem Bisurin, or is he working under the halacha of what? Of the Darashta V'Chakata Heitev, objective. He's working under objective, exactly. So Eid Echad plus Adar is with regard to objective reality. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns, you see. Insofar as objective reality is concerned, his Hodor is worthless. His Hodor is worthless, because his Hodor is a subjective phenomenon. But you can't raise it to an objective level. In order to ascertain something through the objective method, you require either Shnei Edim, that's the parsha of Al Pi Shnayim Edim Yagadova, or else you require Eid Echad plus verification, that's all sugi with regard to Kedushin. So therefore the Rabbeinu Tam learns that this sugi is a natural continuation of the sugi before. So therefore you can't ask a question of his Shtike Kahodah, the question I asked Rabbeinu Tam. What? That alone should be enough. Because Shtike is nothing. The only time we say Shtike is Hodah is Baldin Kemenadon, but not over here. Okay? So over here we don't say Shtike. So therefore you're going to need the Hagadosa Shel Eid plus the corroboration of the Shtike in order to create an objective reality. So the Rabbeinu, that's why the Rabbeinu Tam requires. That's why Rabbeinu Tam says it's halacha v'edechad neman b'isurim. Okay, you see it? It's a natural follow through from the Sugya Sagamara before. Okay? Okay. There's only one question I'll ask me on the Rabbeinu Tam. What's the question from Rabbeinu Tam? It's very nice. We threw the Rabbeinu Tam into a different realm, and it's a realm of objectification. But it asked me a simple question. Why do you have to have the realm of objectification? Why don't we say simply, forget about that? But you still have the Hador of the Baldover himself. So let it be Osir Machmas what? Let it be Osir Machmas the Halacha Veirechod Neman Bisurin. And you don't have to have the objectification. Okay? Of course, that's what the Rambam says. Nice way to escape out of it, but you still have a problem. What do you need the objective method when you have the subject? Okay? Here I want to say something that... because Allah is, if the man himself is motive, tachas yadav, so he's nemam machmas eidecha nemam bisurin. So what do you have to have al pishneim? Why do you have to go to the parsha of al pishneim yakum dover and work with the rush of hakata heitev, establishing reality through the objective method, but you have a subjective anyways. So what's the problem? So here I want to say something, you may go along with me, it may not. But I'll tell you what I think it is. The question is like this. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the question is, here we get back to the philosophical question. If an event occurs in reality, like for instance, let's say Shor HaNirva, okay? So you have a case. Now let us say, when Shor HaNirva, do we say that the fact that the Shor was Nirva really creates Isser, objectively, before anybody's on the scene? You understand? And now we just have to establish whether it was Shor HaNirva or not. Or do I say no? That there's no such halach thing as a halachic phenomena where there is no gavra involved. It doesn't exist. For Shor is Nirva, and no one's around, and there's no way to establish it, it never occurred. It never occurred. Halachically, there's no halachic occurrence. My opinion is that Rabbeinu Tam holds that way precisely. And that's the machlokes the Ran Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam maintains that there's no such thing as an event outside of a halachic individual for whom it has meaning. An event that occurs when nobody exists, nobody knows, there's no method of verification, is not even a halachic phenomenon. It's nothing. It's not that we don't know whether it occurred or not. Okay? So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to understand when the Eid Echad comes along, He's not merely telling you what happened. He's actually, in his very testimony, he's creating halachic phenomena. You understand? The difference is, in other words, if I say a halachic event has meaning, even though there's not no geya to anybody, so when the Eid Echad comes along, he's not really establishing it. He's just telling you what happened. He's explaining. He's telling you an event. There was a halachic phenomena, and I'm going to prove it to you. But if I say that there is no such thing as halachic phenomena where it's not nogeya to anybody, so the Eid Echad and his Agada is doing what? He's establishing, he's creating halachic phenomena. Okay? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it worked, that's what Rabbeinu Tam holds. Second one. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says like this, that even the halacha of Eid Echad Neman B'Isurin with regard to the Sugi and Gittin, with regard to the Sugi and Gittin, when the Eid Echad is made, he says, Nit Mutar Asecha, he's not just telling you what happened. He He's establishing halachic reality. In order to establish halachic reality, there's a formula. What's the formula? The formula is, you must have Agadas HaEid. Okay? That's where Rabbeinu Tam says that shtikin, the sugya in Kedushin, doesn't satisfy the formula. If you say, you understand the other way, that really an event is considered an event, no matter who observes it, regardless of if it's negayat anybody. So it doesn't make any sense to differentiate between shtikin and between dibor, because shtikin means he's modem. Okay? So what do I care if he says mitmut harasecha or he shakes his head like this? It doesn't make any difference. But if you're going to tell me that by in the halacha of knowledge, even primary knowledge, even in echanan b'surin, the halacha is such that the aid is not merely telling you what happened, but he's establishing halachic reality. So then there's a formula for establishing halachic reality. What is it? It's Hagadas HaEid. Shtika doesn't do anything. So therefore, the sugya, that's why there's no question between the sugya in Kedushin and the sugya in Gittin. Because the sugya in Gittin is not shtika. It's a formula for establishing halachic reality, which is nemanus. But over here, it won't do because you don't have that formula. Shtika is not the formula. So over here, you must use what method? The objective method. What's the objective method? Eid Echad plus Shtika plus Adar creates the objective phenomena, because you have an objectification through the Agadas HaEid plus verification through the Shtika. That's the that answers Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Yeah. So the Rabbeinu Tam follows very nicely from the sugya, that it all is the same sugya of objectification, objective knowledge. That's straight through from the sugya, from the previous sugya. Okay. Now let's get to Rashi. Shitas Rashi. Alright? Shitas Rashi, the questions on Shitas Rashi were, where does Rashi get this halacha? What kind of halacha is Rashi stating? Where does he get it from? Okay? Right. Answer like this. Rashi holds like this. And this is what Tosfos argues on Rashi. Rashi holds, and you can't argue with Rashi, I'm just trying to explain his premise. Rashi holds that every mitzvah, where do you learn out Eid Echad Neman Bisurin? What's Rashi's formula? Shereha Mina Torah Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. Torah believed everybody. What do you mean? What do you mean? Struma, Shrita. What does it mean? Where does he believe them? Where do you see he believed them? What does the Torah believe? The answer is Rashi maintains as follows. That the mere giving of a mitzvah to a gavra implies nemanus. Which means like this. That if God tells you to do shchita, what does that mean? It means that you're a neman on shchita. If you're not a neman on shchita, the mitzvah's worthless. Tell a person you can't eat from this baim until you do a ma'aseh shchita. But he's not going to listen to you. He's going to eat anyway. So if that's the case, so he's not a neman. So what's the purpose of a mitzvah? That's what Rashi holds. Rashi maintains two things. Rashi maintains that in order to have what? In order to have, the moment the Torah gave a person a mitzvah, with the mitzvah is nemonis. With the mitzvah is nemonis. Without nemonis, there's no mitzvah. That's the concept of Eid Echad. That's the basic underlying concept of Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. That's Rashi Shita. And Rashi expressed it in two ways. Express it in one way with regard to Chulin and with regard to Gittin of Beis and Abeis, and another way in Yevamos, which means the other way is it's impossible to eat in your house. What does it mean? What Rashi means to say, it's impossible to eat in your house. It means it's impossible to have Nesinas on Mitzvahs without Nemonis. It's just impossible. To say everybody's a Choshed. There's no Torah. It's impossible. So Rashi maintains Rashi's premise. It's not a stira. It's the same idea. It's just he's going from two sides. Rashi's concept of Eid Echad Neman Bisurin stems from one thing: the mitzvah itself. According to Rashi, with the mitzvah was given nemonis. Now there's no stira in Rashi and Gittin, because since that's the concept of Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, so he has to mention all the cases: Shchita, Frashas Truma, and but later, in retrospect, he says you can't derive from that case that there's going to be a nemanus where it's chazak yisur, because it's biyada. You understand? The concept, Rashi identifies the Biyada with the Rechem and Bisurin. It all comes under one framework. It's all one concept. But once that concept established, now for derivation purposes, you can't derive from the Schazig Yisurah, because I can say, yes, that's a Schazig Yisurah, but that's the other. So there you can't. But in the basic formulation, it includes everything, because it's the same idea. What's the same idea? That the nemonis of a gavra ben a geya to eid echad is intrinsic in the sinas amitzvahs. And it's impossible. That's harei minotar. If there's no nemonis is given to the gavra, there's no concept of the sinas amitzvahs. So therefore, the nemonis of eid echad nemon bisurin on daf gimel amid beis, the sugi daf gimel amid beis in gittin, is what kind of nemonis is it? We'll call it a nemonis of cheskes kashrus. That's the nemonis. It's a different kind of nemonis. The nemonis of a cheskes kashrus is different than the nemonis in gittin and daled amid beis. What is the difference expressed? In one thing, the nemonis of a cheskes kashrus is a nemonis which there is no question. You don't require any agudas. You don't require anything. I sit down by the table in my friend's house and I eat. I don't have to ask him. There's no later for suffix. He's a Jew. He's mekabel mitzvahs. There's no question. The nemonis of gittin and daled amid beis requires agudah. You see, according to Rabbeinu Tam, shtik over there is no good. Requires a different kind of nemonis. Different kind of nemonis. Okay? That's how Rashi learns. That's Rashi's concept. Now, let's take... Taisvis disagrees. Taisvis disagrees. Taisvis holds Eid Echad Nemon B'Yisurim is the basic halacha by Sofek Chel of Sofek Shumon, Lois Chazak Yisurah. But when you come to Shechita, because Taisvis doesn't agree with Rashi's approach, like the Taisvis Shodom says in Yevamos, Taisus doesn't like this kind of a concept. He also has a philosophical concept. Where's the halacha derivation? What's the source? Source you require the sofer lalatma. That's the way Taisus does. Okay? But Taisus will see that Taisus agrees with Rashi in a certain sense. He only disagrees with the concept of the derivation. Rashi's derivation is that intrinsic in the mitzvah is nemonis. The degree of nemonis was projected, was given to the gavra. And without that nemonis, there's no mitzvahs. And Taisus holds it's a limud from the sofer lalatma. Okay. Now, let's understand, you see, why is it? Let's take a basic question. Why is it that the Eid Echad is Nemon over here, even though it was B'yado? But as the Sugi and Gittin and Dalar and Bay states only if it's currently B'yado. What's the difference between these two? Between these two things? Okay? What's the difference? Difference is like this. The difference is you're dealing with two kinds of Nemonis. The nemonis of gittin daf beis on the beis is a nemonis of the fact that the person received the mitzvah. He received the mitzvah, is a nemon. The nemonis of gittin daf nindalad on the beis is based on a different phenomenon. What is it based upon? What is the requirement in gittin? Either it must be currently biyado, or else it was biyado and it didn't tell the baal yet. Okay, what does it mean? It's not because of shmiras mitzvahs. I can prove to you. What kind of shmiras and mitzvahs is nitnu tarasecha? Is a mitzvah nitnu tarasecha? What kind of mitzvah? There was no tumah. The mitzvah to create tumah. See, the halacha ve'erecha nemen bisurin, you can eat in the person's house. What's the cheskes kashrus? He's not going to eat treif. He's eating kosher. The mitzvah was given to him. So therefore, the halacha is that he's a nemon, but he's a nemon because of his practice. So what kind of a nemonis is that? It's nemonis lahatir. But to establish that something occurred, that something of Isra occurred here, an extraneous event, an observer, that's a different parasha. Then what do you require? You require a Haggadah, Nemonis is gone, there are certain requirements. What are the requirements? Essentially, let's take a biased position. You require it must be currently B'yada. Okay? Why currently B'yada? What's the Machlekes, a Bayan Rava? Why currently B'yada? What's the Halacha? And what's the formula if it was B'yada and now... The answer is like this. The answer is that there's a halacha of, there's two kinds of nemonis. There's a nemonis which stems from the very shmiras on mitzvahs, and there's a nemonis of a gavra of the Yisrael. But the gavra of the Yisrael is a nemon only if it's nimsa b'yada. You ask me, what is nimsa b'yada? What does b'yada have to do with it? The answer is, the halacha is, it's an objective halacha. You have ne'emonis where it's under your control. That's where your ne'emonis is limited to. You don't have ne'emonis on something that's not your expertise. That's nothing to do with you. For that, you require al pishnei al pishnei yokum davar. You see? For the mnemonis. There's two kinds of mnemonis that a gavra is endowed with. One kind of mnemonis, again, stems from the Shemir HaMitzvahs. That's Erecha Nemelahatu. Another kind of mnemonis stems from the fact that you're a gavra kosher. But your gavra kosher is not, in other words, it's not intrinsic in the mitzvah. You see, it's not intrinsic in the mitzvah. It's just you are a gavra kosher, you believe. But where does the gavra kosher believe? He's believed on something that's under his control. If it's not under his control, it has nothing to do with him, there's no mnemonis. As a matter of fact, the concept of Erecha Nem Bisurin is in juxtaposition to the concept of Pishnei Erim Yakum Dava. Why? Because Erecha Nem Bisurin, the more he's Negeya, the more he's believed. And Pishnei Erim Yakum Dava is the exact opposite. The fact that he's Negeya is a psal. What's the reason? The reason is because Pishnei Erim Yakum Dava is a psal. Why? Because over there you need objective phenomena. But over here it stems from the Gavras Cheskes Kashras. So the Cheskes Kashras is on the contrary. That which is under his control, you believe a shoemaker when it comes to shoes. That's his area. You're not going to believe when in regard to another area. His cheskes kashrus only is valid as long as he's within his framework. You see, that's a different thing. No, that's a shavu nachem. This is a separate halach of a subject to phenomena. This is a separate thing. It's not a gate to any external reality. Okay. That's really the difference between the sugya and gittin daf beis on the beis and the sugya and gittin daf nun dalet on the beis. So all right. What is biyado? Biyado means. Now I want to show you the question we asked according to the Tosfos, for instance. Over here, biyado is only in the past. Over there, biyado nun dalet on the beis is it has to be according to by a current. What's the difference? It's very simple. Over here, he's believed because it was nimsali, according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, is no problem over there. Because according to Rashi, over here, the reason why it's believed is because Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Shmiras HaMitzvahs, you see. So Shmiras HaMitzvahs. But according to Tosfos, like this. According to Tosfos, that's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Tosfos, he's only believed here because it's biyado. See, because it's biyado. What does it mean? It means, again, the same concept, that he's only a nemon on that which was Nimsar Liyado. But there's two types of Nimsar Liyado. There's a Nimsar Liyado that the Halacha is Moser Liyado, the Halacha entrusts him, like by Shechita, and there's a different kind of Nimsar Liyado where a person gives something over to your trust and care. That's a separate individual. I give over my Tyrus to you, I tell you to take care of it. That's the second kind of Nimsar Liyado. The Nimsar Liyado of Shechita is a Nimsar Liyado which is based upon what idea? It's based upon the idea that he's entrusted with it. If he's entrusted with it, so then he has a cheskes kashrus. It stems from his cheskes kashrus, you see. But the cheskes kashrus doesn't require that it's biyado now. Who cares? It was given to him in the past. So you see that what? You see he wasn't trusted. So biyado on the current doesn't make any sense. That's why by Shechita, you don't need a current biyado. But the biyado of the gavra, where you want to trust the gavra, you see, that's a different biyado. Then I say he's only a guy. The only time I trust him is where it is currently under his control. That's a biyado, by the way. One is a biyado lahatir, the other one is a biyado lekalkel, leisr. Right? What does it mean? It means biyado lekalkel, biyado leisr is a different kind of nemonis. I'm believing this gavra on whatever he's going to tell me. Not because the mitzvah is nimsal yado. There's no nemonis given to the gavra. It's because he, in general, has a cheskes kashrus, and I can believe in what he says. But what do I believe him on? Only those things that are under his control. Something out of his realm, I don't accept him on. He's not an expert in this area, I don't accept him. I only believe him in the areas under his control. So Abaya says, when is it, makes sense, when is he going to be believed? Where it's currently under his control. The past doesn't mean anything. If it's an emunah because of mitzvah, that the Torah was mosir at the yado, so then I don't care if it's current. He was given in the past. So you see, the Torah gave him nemonis. It entrusted him with a mitzvah, gave him nemonis on this halacha. But if it's a different kind of biyada, there's no mitzvah to be mitame tyrus. So why do I believe him? He's not telling me lahat. It's not based upon a cheskes kashrus. So what is it based upon? It's based upon the gavra happens to be a nemon. He's a kosher. So he's only believed on things which are under his control. Not under his control, there's no nemonis. Okay. What did Rava say? Rava, what was the question about Kiddushin? Kiddushin, yeah, Kiddushin. What's the answer for Kiddushin? Kiddushin, the answer is very simple. Kiddushin is operating not under the parsha of Nemonis. What is it operating under? Under Erechot Plashtika. Erecha plus shtika is objectification. Okay? The difference and difference is a different sugya. Hold on a second. Right? Now, subject Erecha plus shtika, that Erecha in Kiddushin is a different kind of mnemonis. It's an objective mnemonis. It's not subjective. That's why you need corroboration from the shtika. Okay? So there's three sugyas. Now you see clearly that one sugya is dependent upon the mnemonis of the intrinsic mnemonis that was given to him with the mitzvah. With the mitzvah, he was given that mnemonis. Okay? Whether you learn it from yourself, the Latzma or Rashi, I mean, there are chalukim. I'm not going to go to the chalukim. But that's the basic concept. There's another, was nimsar liyodo, the Torah was mosir liyodo. Then there's another halacha, the gavra is a cheskes kashrus, but he's only. For the mitzvah, but he has a certain credibility. But where is his credibility? What he knows. Not under his control, there's no credibility. That's the law. That's the sugi in Gittin and Dalam Beis. The sugi in Kedushin, what's the sugi in Kedushin? Sugi Kedushin is Erecha plus Shtika. What kind of halacha is that? That's objective reality. Objective phenomena. Okay? Let me finish. Now, what did Rava say? Rava disagreed with the Bible. Rava held that it could have been in the past the Yodo. Plus, it's the first opportunity that he had that he met the Baal. What's the formula over there? So here I want to say like this. What Rava holds is that there's, the halacha is, you see, they're not too far apart. What Rava holds is that he has an emunis with regard to anything that he's a baldoverin. That he's a baldoverin. Okay? That he's a baldoverin. Whoever holds, as long as it was given to him in the past, and he still didn't complete his mission, he's the Baldover. He's the Baldover. It doesn't have to be currently under his control that it could be Matame the Tyrus. But as long as one time it was given over to him and he still didn't complete his mission, he didn't meet the Baal yet, he's still the Baldover. It's still considered Tachas Yodo. And the person has an emunis as long as it's Tachas Yodo. That's the Machlekes of Bayin Rabbah. Okay. Now, that answers the steering rash and get nothing. Now I just want to go one step further. Okay, I want to go one step further. And with this further step, I'd like to answer the run. See, I want to say something like this: that there is, as I mentioned before, that mamonis and isurin stand in juxtaposition to each other. Okay, in mamonis, the further removed the eight is, the better. Okay. In Isurin, the closer he is, the better. You see why? Because it's from his mnemonis. Okay? Either the intrinsic mnemonis with regard to each mitzvah, or the mnemonis of the Gavra ben Egeya, Kol Mashatachas Yadav. Alright? Now I want to say like this. There's a halacha of Baldova by Mamet. Halacha of Baldova. In Baldova, it means, for instance, I'm a Morzik, I own properties. So I'm a Baldova. Anyone that contests my status, he is up against the Baldover. It's a halacha of a Baldover ben Egeya to Mamet. What I want to say is like this, that there's a halacha of Baldover ben Egeya to Isser as well. Ben Egeya to Isser, there's also a halacha of Baldover. It's the same halacha. It's the same concept. It means that if a person is a bailim on a chefza, it means it's tachas yado. Whatever you want to say, it's nitanli, it's biyodo, lekalkel, or like Rava says, but this concept is a concept in the Torah of a baldover. He's a baldover ben egeya iser. That's why he's believed. You see, it's not, there's no reason. It's not a halacha of a reason. You shouldn't look, if you look for reasons, you get it. It means that there's a halachic entity of a baldover ben egeya to iser. He's a baldover. A baldover, since there's a category of baldover. Now we believe, now the Torah says once there's an established category of Baldover, he's Nemon. A Baldover's a Nemon. Okay. So what I want to say is like this, that there's a halacha of a Baldover ben Egeya to Isser, just like there's a halacha of Baldover ben Egeya to Mamon. You see. So it comes out like this, that if somebody comes along and tells me, Nitnu Taresecha, or Shorcha Nirva, so he is talking against who? He's talking against the Baldover. I'm a Baldover. The Ran is saying like this. What the Ran says is like this. And you notice the Ran constantly compares Mamon. He says in Mamon it'll never work that way. brings it up a couple of times, right? Moment, of course it won't work that way. What are you talking about? He's talking about moment. Of course it won't work that way. Moment, you have to clarify the issue. What are you talking about? What he means is like this. He means there's a baldover benegea to mamon, and there's a baldover benegea to issa. Which means if somebody comes along as an outside observer against me, and he tells me that a thing that I have is tamed, or a thing that I have is puzzle, or mizbeach, so he's talking against the baldover, because I own it. It's mine. It's under my control. I'm a baldover. So it's not just a halacha that whatever is under my control I have nemunis for, like the sugi and git. It's more than that. Somebody that comes against me is trying to establish something against a baldover. Okay? So the Ran says, that's the gzeras akasiv. The gzeras akasiv is that the eid echad, the objective testimony of the eid echad, okay, plus the host, in order for him to establish Isser, there must be one thing. There must be a removal of the gavra of the baldover. And without the removal of the gavra of the baldover, an eid echad can't establish Isser. How does the baldover remove himself? How does he forfeit his role? He forfeits his role by shtika, for shtika. Not like Rabbeinu Tam or all the shtikas I do, but simply the fact that he is a shosek to the aid. He's a shosek. The aid comes along, according to Taisus and Yevamos, it's very simple. Raglayim l'davar. What does raglayim l'davar mean? What kind of raglayim l'davar? What do you have? Is it a shtika or not? Taisus hedges. It's raglayim l'davar, so therefore what? Raglayim l'davar plus the aid echo? What kind of a formula is that? What it means is like this. What it means is raglayim l'davar means I say to him what you say is feasible. What does that mean? The moment I do that, I relinquish my rights as a baldover, insofar as this is concerned. You see? I relinquish. According to the Ran, it even goes further. Even if I can't even know what it is, but the moment I'm a shosek in the presence of the Eid Echad, so what do? I've forfeited my chalashim, the obstacle of baldover, I've relinquished. And just like in Mammon, you can't establish anything against the baldover unless in an objective testimony, unless you have Alpishneid and Yakum Dover, or Idoras Baldin, or Idoras Baldin, in Isser it's the same halacha. You can't establish anything against the baldover unless you have two Eidim, or unless the baldover forfeits his role. So the Eid Echad is objective phenomena. That's the Sugi in Kedushin is objective phenomena, you see. In contradistinction to the two Sugis in Gittin, it's objective phenomena. But in objective phenomena, you're up against the baldover. What do you do with the baldover? What's the answer? The answer is the baldover has to forfeit his role before the Eid Echad can establish anything. That's why, what?
Okay.
Yeah. The Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ran is according to Rabbeinu Tam, you need the shtik as a corroboration. According to the Ran, it's truly Eid Echad Nemen Bisur, and he doesn't need any corroboration. That's why he says the halacha is it's purely Eid Echad Nemen Bisur. It's not corroboration. But the only thing is, you have the problem of the baldover. So the baldover, you require that baldover shtika. And that explains the Ramah, where the Ramah says that before the Eid Echad gets to court, they tell the person, they say, just a minute. This is a question that the Gzeres HaKosev is, that in objective reality of Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin, it can't work unless the baldover forfeits. That's up to you. You're a baldover. You want to give up your baldovership? Fine. You don't want to? It's not going to work. So that's the halacha, that if he's intelligent and we give him, we coach him, so then he doesn't have to forfeit his fact that he's a baldover. He doesn't forfeit it, the aid can't establish anything. Of course, the aid b'mokam baldover can't establish any objective reality. Those are the three sugyos. Okay? What did I say? Really involves a very basic, fundamental principle of Yadis, binogeya, to the yesod, probably I'd say the greatest yesod adas. All right? Stop. Start off with one question. Now, the minig is that after Friday night, after shul, after the bal tefillah, after you daven tefillah b'tzibur, you say v'echulah. How do you know what I'm saying? So the halacha is like this. The halacha is, the minig is based upon the idea, and if you're alone, so you can have another person, so the minig is two people say v'echulah. All right? Why do two people say v'echulah? Because it's, I got to say this. I got to say this, that what? To me, I tell you, I kept the minute because I saw that the Gra holds in the minute. But the but it never made sense to me. What does it mean? I'm Maggid Avis. That a Kaddish Baruch Hu was Barei Shemayim V'Aretz. The whole thing's crazy. I mean, the only one that could be Maggid is an external observer. who was there to B'Shas Bria Solom to observe that a Kaddish Baruch Hu created the world? And who am I to say that I'm Maggid Avis, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu? It sounds almost like, I mean, I have no right to do this. Yomoi Mikra Kosovi Efshel Omro. I'm testifying about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He's the Borei Olam. It's the height of gaiva and absurdity, right? That's my question. Okay. So, I want to say it like this. That we have a halacha. There's two parshas in the Torah. There's a parsha in the Torah, the Rashi V'Chakat HaHeted. That means in order to establish testimony by the Edom, you must be Dorish V'Choker, investigate, do everything you can. Then there's halacha v'erechon l'embisun. You don't even question it. You walk into his house, you don't have to ask him anything. He's eating breakfast, you eat breakfast, and that's it. There's no shiloh. That's the halacha of what? That's the halacha of nemonis. Okay? What I want to say is like this. In with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we also relate to him in two ways. We relate to him in the Dorashto v'chakarta heitev, which means that we demand verification. And then, on the other hand, there's a concept of emunah b'Hashem. What is emunah b'Hashem? What does it mean, emunah b'Hashem? Monashah. If you know it, you have knowledge, so you don't need emunah. And if you don't know it, so why are you minding? Real problem. What is the concept of emunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu? Okay? So, what I want to say is like this. That really, it's Both are true. And in one way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where's the Pasuk? The Yadata Yom HaShivosa Olavecha Atareth L'Das. If it wasn't Das, we don't accept it. We demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Jewish HaKir, we have to understand it. Otherwise we don't accept it. That's one halacha. But there is another halacha of Nemonis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Nemon. Okay? So where do these, how do these two concepts, what's the interplay of the two concepts? Okay. So really, it's a parsha in the Torah. Interesting thing. It's a parsha in the Torah. Where's the parsha in the Torah? Parshas Lech Lecha. Parsha says like this. The parsha says, V'hemin bar Hashem v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. Alright? So, the Torah says like this. Acha advar ma'ela. So, hoi advar Hashem al Avram b'machas alema. Althir Avram anochi morgin loch schorcha harbe noyeh. Vayam Avram, matitan li, Hashem alakim matitan li, v'nocha olach hariri, v'en meshik besi d'mesk aliezer. Vayam Avram, heim li l'evan sazor, v'nei v'en besi yerushasi. And it says, v'hine et v'ashem elav lemo alay rosh chazer. Okay? V'yotze sa ochutza. And then, v'hem in b'ashem v'yach shaveh lo tzedaka. We take a look at the next pasuk. Vayam alav, v'ni Hashem asher tzichu nur kasdim lo ses l'cho asar zos l'rishta. Vayam ar, ar Hashem alakim b'mo eda ki roshena. Suddenly, first the Torah praises him, V'hem in B'Hashem. Then the Torah says, no, he wasn't Maimon anymore. He said, V'moi Eidaki Roshenu. He made a demand. Okay? Take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi says like this. Rashi says, V'hem in B'Hashem, Lo Sho'a Lo Os Alze. Didn't ask God for any sign. Aval Yerusha Sa'oretz, Sho'a Lo Os. V'omalo B'moi Eidaki Roshenu. What's the chat? The parsha over here really uncovers the two realms. In one way, we relate to God and we demand drisha v'chakira, and if he doesn't answer the questions, if we can't answer the questions, we simply don't accept them. That's why you have Maimon Har Sinai, and that's why the Yadata Yom HaShivosa L'Vavecha must be through drisha v'chakira, must be through Yediyah. But in another area, we don't ask any questions, and we just have Amunah. What is the area where we don't ask any questions? What area is that? The area is Scharvanish. That's the area. So where do you, how do you see that? Because in Kedoshim, in the Torah, it says, Ani Yad Hashem, what does Rashi say? Nemon L'Shalem Sachar. It means that in the area of Scharvanish, we have total emunah. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Nemon. And why has he been, he's a Nemon? I would say, I mean, if I'm permitted to say, I would say He's a Nemon with a contingency, just like Allah, just like a Jew's a Nemon. What is a Nemon on? One requirement. The Yada. But it's not called the Yada. That's why he's a Nemon. Nemon because of the same halacha, of Biyada. But over there it's a kol biyada. That's why he's a Nemon. In the area of Schar V'Onesh, there's no question. That's why it says, how does parsha start off? Achad vom Elohei Dvashim Avram Machzim Amatir Avram Anochem Avram Loch Schor Chohar Beimod. So what does it say? Vayom Avram Hashem Lokim Atitim Lig Anochem Chariri. What kind of schar do I have? So he says, V'hinei Dvashim Elohim Avram Lo Yerosh Chosek Kima Shetim Meyecha Abet Na Hashem Maimo He told Noho Achtocho V'hem In Bashem Lo Shor Lo Osal Zeh. But then he said, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. Oh, Eretz Yisrael? What is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is part of the halachic system. The halachic system is with the rush of a Hakat HaHetev. Over there, moon is no good. Over there, it must be with the rush of a Hakat HaHetev. You must have knowledge of how it works. And if you don't understand how it works, then it has no value to you. So the halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah Borei Olam, it's not a halacha of Nemonis. It's halacha v'yadata yom ha'shavas elavavecha v'yadata rashta v'chakat ha'ita. But when it comes to schar is a different story. Schar is, he's a nemon, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is a nemon, because everything's v'yada.
The Moshe's
conscious about we'll get there. Okay. Yeah. It's not an area of study. Exactly. It's not an area of study. It's not an area of study because it requires das HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand it. And we don't even understand what schar is. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says what does the pasuk say? Gemara says, "Kol hanavim isnabu liyamos haMashiach, avol olam haba, ayin laros alakim zulasecha." You're the only one that knows. We don't even understand the parsha. Rambam says, "What does Rambam say? Like a blind person doesn't know what color is." So how can we possibly go into the realm of Schar V'Onesh? Why do we believe in Schar V'Onesh? Because Ani Yad Hashem, Ne'mon l'shalim schar. That's the halacha. Okay? Now, really, the one who formulated this halacha, formulated again, repeated the formulation. What exactly, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Nemon? The formula is in Dvarim, in the end of Vashana. Okay? The end of Vashana. In Vashana, on Zion Tes. So the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, V'yadato ki Hashem Elokecha. Who are Lokim? What is the next words? Or Kael HaNemon. Kael HaNemon. What is he? How does the pasuk continue? Shomer HaBris V'yachesed Li'oavav L'shomer Mitzvosov V'elav Dor U'mishalim L'sonov El'ponov L'avido Lo Ya'achel L'sonov El'ponov Mishalim. What is that? Schar V'Onesh. That's Schar V'Onesh. Schar V'Onesh. But he added one more thing. What did he add? Havtacha also is Nemonis. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the formula. The formula is two things. We believe God, we believe his Nemonis with regard to two things. Havtacha Hashem and Schar V'Onesh. You see, Havtacha itself. That's why, what does the Pasuk say really by Avraham Avinu, by Har HaMoriah? So, by Har HaMoriah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, he told him, he says, now take him off. So he says, I'm Avraham, he says, Afarish Yesichosi. He says, how is it possible? Yesterday you told me what? You told me keep his royal was up. Today you told me Alela Olo. And now you told me take him down. But till that time you didn't ask the question. Why didn't he ask God the question right away? What's the answer? The answer is he didn't ask him the question until he couldn't understand what to do, what the Maisa was. I can't, what am I supposed to do? Take him off, but that's impossible. But before that, even though it was a contradiction, but it wasn't no Gaya La Maisa, he didn't ask the question. Why? Because that's Havtacha. Havtacha no person can understand. And that's why the question was only raised the moment he had to do something, which a person can't function without understanding. So he had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "What? I didn't tell you HaKriveyo. I said HaAleyo. So you already did the mitzvah." That was the answer. But he didn't need the answer before. Because before it was Emunah, of course it was Havtacha. You see the same thing by Yaakov Avinu. Vayiro Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzalo. He had the Havtacha. The answer is Havtacha, we don't understand. Havtacha is unintelligible. Havtacha is pure Emunah. Yes. By Sdom V'Amora, Kadosh Baruch Hu informed him. Kadosh Baruch Hu informed him what he's going to do He adopted Lamanashi Yitzaves Bonaves Beso Achrov, so it was a limud b'nogea to Mishpat. Hashbach wouldn't have told him anything, he wouldn't have asked the question. The special limud is a machasanim Avram Asher and Yosef, Avram Hoyi Yelagai Gabu Vahatsu and Nibuchu Vahatsu. It means that Hashbach would determine in this case that he wants to take Avram in and inform him what justice is. So therefore he had to ask, because then he informed. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells a person he wants him to understand something, then he has to ask. But if he doesn't inform him, that's just after. Don't say a word.
What
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, the Sefer Eiv is only universal. Only universal. I'll get him out there. Hold on a second. Because a person doesn't know the Haftach. He doesn't know how the Haftach is going to set itself up. It means he could be destroyed, the Haftach says, or some other way. We don't understand. I don't know if you can understand either. Kiddush was called Vazor, now Alei. We don't know. When it comes to Haftach, we have no knowledge. Comes to talk with Hakel HaNemon, Shomar Bris V'Chesed. That's the Allah. Okay? Now, listen. That's why you have the story in Rabbeinu Yonah. One time took it up in Pirkei Avos. What's in Rabbeinu Yonah? Where one of the Tanoim was being taken out to be murdered. One of the Tanoim. And who was it? So, and the one who was taking him out, was leading him to his execution, asked him. He said, how is it possible that you are being executed and I'm not? So he said to him, he said, in la'ose ritzon olkach, la'ovre ritzon olachas kama v'chama, right? And then he asked him the other way. He said, how come I'm living a life of luxury, a life of enjoyment, a life of taiva, and you're suffering? So he said, in la'ovre ritzon olkach, la'ose ritzon olachas kama v'chama. That was his answer. What was his answer? His answer was, there's no way to know how the Schar V'Onish works itself out. That's Anir Hashem, Ne'mon L'Shalom Schar. But that it is so, that we know. That the Tzaddik will receive Schar, that the Rasha will receive an Onish, that fact we know. But do we understand it? No.
The very concept of Avtocha is unintelligible to us. For instance, there's Avtocha that the Jews are going to go out of Mitzrayim and we celebrate the Pesach. What about all the generations that died before that Avtocha? And what about the ultimate Avtacha, that there will be a Gula? The Gula Hasida. What about all the generations until that time? What about generation of only Goyen and all the Rishonim, the Achronim? We don't understand it. We just know that there's Avtacha to Am Yisrael, and that's it.
So in every generation, they always bring up Mashiach. Always Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming. All right. Mashiach is coming this year, it's coming last year. Why is this? And you see, Chazal were very much against this, right? Why can't people get away from this? People can't get away from this because of one thing. Because they don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why. Because with regard to the Avtocha, they don't have any emunah. Because they think that things have to fit into the way they understand it. And it's not okay on them. Interesting Rambam. The Rambam says in the Qur'an, he says about Mashiach, and get a Sanhedrin, get a Sanhedrin. With regard to the Qur'an, so he says a funny thing there. He says that I believe in Mashiach, you have to believe in Mashiach, and that whenever he comes, he's not Mis'acher. What do you mean he's not Mis'acher? Of course, when he comes, he comes. He's going to come. What do you mean when Mis'acher came late? What does it mean he came late? I mean, that's not supposed to come. What's the pshat? The pshat in the Rambam is what we're saying. If you believe he's a Mis'acher, it means you believe circumstances are such that he should have come before. Okay? But then you lack emunah. That's not animamin. Animamin means I believe that the Avtacha will be fulfilled exactly the way God sees fit, and at the time, and that's the exact time. But if you have your own ideas of when he should come, you say, that's not emunah anymore. Then you're not mamin in Mashiach completely. That's not really an emunah shlema. Okay? Yisachar means he shouldn't have any predetermined concept as to when he's supposed to come. So it comes out like this, that the people that believe or constantly are trying to believe, and they think this is a derech of emunah to constantly be talking about Mashiach, they have no trust. They have no trust in God, really. There's no nemonis. If there's nemonis, they'd say, tell a nemon. Yeah, I don't understand. Tell a nemon. The moment you start to fit into your realm, then you're in a different parasha. Okay.
Well,
Yeah, for signs, you're right. Okay. Now. Yeah. Where do we really find Nemanis? Where do you find the concept of Nemanis? I mean, we have a lot of tefillas. Where do you have Nemanis? You see, in Shmon Esrei, V'nemona tolach yas meisim. Why? Because tchias meisim, a person can't understand. It's Nemanis. Okay? But there's Nemanis, it's an interesting thing. Can you get me a Hoshea? Get me a Hoshea. There's Nemanis, what do you say, the most Nemanis in the brachas you have after the Haftarah? What does it say? Why does it say over there, Nemonis? Again, why? What's the shot? Why by the Nevi'im? Because Nevi'im is Haftacha. Exactly. Nevi'im is Haftacha. And Haftacha is only Ne'emonis. Haftacha is only Ne'emonis. You see, I'll ask you a question. If you read the Nevi'im, you see, Yeshayahu and others giving a prediction, then suddenly, V'hoya bayomahu, the Gula Sido, she slips into the Achras HaYomim. What does the Achras HaYomim have to do with Yeshayahu? Yo, why is the Nevi'im constantly slipping into the Achras HaYomim? At the end of time, they're talking about a Nevuah, plain as most Nevuahs, it's a practical Nevuah. You want a Sefer Achras HaYomim, it should be another Sefer Achras HaYomim. That's an Asik for, for the Neil. Achras HaYomim. What does it got to do with the Achras HaYomim of suddenly switching from the Nevuah of the present to the Achras HaYomim? What does that do with it? What's the answer? The answer is because the Navi is concerned with two things. The Navi is Tochacha, the Klal Yisrael, and as opposed to Haftarah. The Rav one time said that every Haftarah always teaches a person, gives a person hope for the Yeshua. Every Haftarah is there. That's the underlying theme of every Haftarah. Really, that's really the whole essence of the Navi, really. The Navi is, he criticizes Klal Yisrael in what manner? He says, I'm telling you why the Avtachas Hashem didn't come. So that's why he has to slip into Achras HaYomim. What is the ultimate Avtachas Hashem? It's Achras HaYomim. The whole Navi, the whole Nevi'im is Avtacha. And the Avtacha is Emunah. You have the... Okay. Interesting thing. I thought of the idea, and I found a pasuk that... with a Rashi that corroborates the idea. Ve'erastichli, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Ve'erastichli le'olam. Yeah, it's in Hoshea Beis. Ve'erastichli le'olam, let's see, Ve'erastichli betzedek of a mishpat of a chesed of rachamim, Ve'erastichli be'amuna, v'yadat es Hashem. Okay.
So Ve'erastichli le'olam, you understand. Ve'erastichli betzedek of a mishpat, so Rashi's shetisnagu bohem. That God is the chosin, and he gives us tzedek and mishpat that we should be knowing with him. So he's mekadosh us with that. Uva chesed urachman. And chesed urachman Rashi says, sheyovo lachome iti al yedeyem b'avram avinu. So he gives us chesed and mishpat. What does it mean, ve'rastichli b'amona? How is God mekadosh with amona? He has to give something.
Rashi says, b'schar he'am ho'amona. He means God is going to be mekadosh. What is the chesed or kedushin? The schar. Because in kedushin you could have two ways. Either you could have the like, for instance, Rekod Lefana Eschar Veschar. The Schar. So you can be Kaddish Schar. So it means the Schar that I'm going to give you back for your Amunah, that Schar is going to be the object that actually creates the Kedushin. And Rashi adds, he says like this. What is the Schar of Amunah? He says, She'amanta begola laftachos yal yedei nevi'ai. That you believed in the Golas, the Aftachos, that I sent through my Nevi'im. So what do you see from Rashi? I see from Rashi that the whole concept of the Nevi'im is really a concept of what? It's a concept of Hamuna. Why? Because of Haftacha. That's the form that Moshe Rabbeinu established. So, Kel HaNemon Shomar Bris V'Yachesed Lo'ov HaShem Yalav Dor M'Shalim L'Sonov Schar V'Onish HaHaftacha. Okay. Now, it's an interesting thing. But The interesting thing. Just a second. Yeah. By the way, what does it mean? Abocha bin Abocha bin Abocha. I saw the bracha before the Nizam. Abocha batav Moshe Avdo, Lisrol Amo, Vivianas. What's that? What's that? Right? Vivianas. What's the that? I think what tzedek means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not bocher bin avim for it's a capricious. No, it's a bocher. He's bocher in tzedek, and because he's bocher in tzedek, that's why he's bocher bin avim. And because a Kodesh Baruch Hu is tzedek, he's nemun l'shalom schar. You see, a bocher bin avim ames vod tzedek. Vod tzedek means he's bocher bin avim ames, and he's bocher bin tzedek, and that's why bin avim ames he has to. Bring what the Nevi'im say. He has to cause to occur what the Nevi'im say. All right. Now, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, it goes on Bokh. That's what I think. I mean, it doesn't shut himself. I think that's a super shot. Anyway, so I want to just go to a different area. It's an interesting thing. You have a minig that we don't do. The minig is you say, Kel Melech Naman. Before Kriya Shema. So the Rishonim were against this. So they said it's a hefsek, okay? But the question is, it's an old minhag. The question is, where did this minhag come from? Kael Melech Naaman, what does it have to do with Kriya Shema? Alright? And the Ramban says like this. The Ramban says... But he says like this. He says, V'achazman ro'isi talmidei tzafatim makshim v'omim b'yadeinu medrash agoda. There's a medrash, what is it based on? Kelnach Nama is based on a medrash agoda. That in Krishna yesh bo ramach tevos k'neged evorv shalodom. Okay? Alright, anyways, k'shimonu enin el reish lamates. Alright, problem. Borosh enin kamachus lo'am vod sh'yatsriho chachom lamach v'yisu v'sachom. V'kelmach nemon zeh mashlimin osan. So the Kelmach Nemon is mashlim, the minion of Ramach Evarim. Amar Abmani Berebi, lo te krishma kala b'inachem, neshi yesh bo ramach tevos k'minion Evarim shel ha'odom. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im lo marito v'shamarto es sheli likroso ketikuno, ani eshmo es shelach. L'kach dovi mekales, shomreini ki'ishon bas oyen. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shmor mitzvosai v'chye. Okay? So what does it mean? It's an interesting thing. It means that in Krishna, there's Nemonis also. Krishna is interesting. In Krishna you have really the first two brachas. What are the first two brachas? The first bracha in Krishna is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Toras Borei Olam. B'Toras Borei Olam, what is the mitzvah? The Darashta V'Chakarta Heitev. The Yadata Yom HaShivosa Lavavecha. The Rambam, Yediyas Hashem. To have knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'das es Hashem. Mitzvah Haseh, the first mitzvah saying in Rambam, is L'das Sheyeshom Alakam Motzui. L'das Sheyeshom. You have to have Yedia. That's what the Rosh HaKata Heitev. Otherwise, it's the Yom kind of Mitzvah. The second one, Ava Rabbah, is also Yedia. Because that's Yedia through Torah. Same with the Hovind L'Haskel, L'Shmo, L'Lumot, L'Lame, L'Lishmo, L'Lashem. That's Yedia Hashem. Yedia Hashem through Torah. That's again with the Rosh HaKata Heitev. But MS V'Yatziv and MS V'Amuna is what? What is MS V'Yatziv and MS V'Amuna? MS V'Amuna means that a person is mamin in a Kodesh Baruch Hu because you're dealing with the Avtacha. It's Rashi and Brachas. You got a Gemara Brachas in? Rashi says in Brachas, Rashi is like this. The Gemara says, how do you know they have to say MS Amar Rabba? Kol Shalama Armas V'Yatziv Shachris V'Emes V'Amuna Arvis Lo Yotzo Yidei Chovaso. Right? Why? How do you know? Shinema. L'hagid Baboker Chastecho V'Emunos Chabaleros. So Rashi says, Birkas MS V'Yatziv Kula Ochesit Shosim Avoseinu Isho Tziyom Mitzrayim L'Boker L'Mayom ve'evirom ubirkas emes ve'emuno medaba bo'afal ha'sidus shanu mitzapim she'ekayim lanu haftachoso ve'emunoso le'goleinu miyad melochim miyad aritzim ha'losum nafshenu b'chayim al-adrichenu ha'bomos oveinu kol eila nisim atadirim tanah. Amazing thing. See that Rashi holds that what? That Rashi is Gemara. L'hagi b'boka chasdecha v'emunoscha b'leilos. So it means to say, what does it mean l'hagi b'boka chasdecha v'emunoscha b'leilos? It means that, what is the Laila? Laila is where a person has a fear. He doesn't know. At nighttime, he sees different images. He projects. He sees different things, different events that might occur to him. It's a fearful state. But b'boka, in the morning, the sun is shining. He sees everything is fine. That's l'hagi b'boka chasdecha. Really, a person's fear of the night is not really a fear of the night so much. It's a fear of what kind of a boker is he going to have. What kind of boker is he going to face tomorrow? That's the fear. That's why it's lahagid baboker chastecha. That's chesed Hashem. That's shegolonim in the Mitzrayim. But then the munoscha balelos means that there a munon nemon l'shalim schar shoma after chasal. You see, it's an interesting thing that Chazal added another bracha. What's the other bracha? Added the bracha of Ashkivein v'Hashem l'kem l'shalom. Why? Why is Hashem Hashem Kehan L'Shalom? Because that's Emunoscha B'Leilos. It means when a person goes to sleep, he's frightened. What's the fear of sleep? The fear of sleep is because the person is in absentia. He's unconscious. Anything can happen to him. He's prey to any kind of event that might occur. He can't control. There's no more control. A loss of control. So that's Emunoscha B'Leilos. Hashkivein Hashem Kehan L'Shalom L'Amidin Kehan L'Chayim. Doesn't necessarily mean the person has to be frightened in order to have Kavana in that bracha. That bracha Ashkivein Hashem Hakem L'Shalom is the concept of Amuna and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in spite of the fact that it's Balelos. That's the enunciation, that's the completion of really the whole concept of Kriya Shema. So Kriya Shema really, Kabbalah Sol Malch HaShemayim has two components. It has the components of the Rosh Tev HaKarta Hetev of Yotzer Or and of Ava Rabbah, and the Kabbalah Sol Malch HaShemayim is incomplete unless it expresses itself in what? Emunoscha balelos. Lahage baboka chasdecha v'emunoscha balelos. What? You're right. Yesham lekechem is in Kedusha. Nemo l'sham schar. Same idea.
Right.
Now, it's an interesting thing. You take a look at the Mizmor. The Mizmor is Mizmor l'Shabbos. Tov lo Hashem. Lahage baboka chasdecha v'emunoscha balelos. Alei asa lei nova lei gyan l'china. But then it goes in Kismachti Hashem before Lecha the Masya Decharan Aranim. My God, Luma Secha Hashem, Mod Omku Machshla Secha. What is this? He's slipping from one to the other. What does it mean? What he's saying, what the Mizmor is saying is like this, that the Emunoscha Balelos doesn't have any validity unless it's based on the Darash of the Chakarta Hetev. Unless it's based on Yedias Hashem, Ishbar Lo Yedo Chsilo Yovenetzos. The Shorach Hashem can be Eitzik Sukkah Balelos Misham Damadeyav Atomar Alam Hashem. It means that's Nemonis, but it means that the Nemonis, the Emuna, isn't valid, has no value, unless it's in the framework of Yedias Hashem. So we face God in two ways. One way is Yedias Hashem, the Rashi of Hakata Hetev. That's the framework. Inside that framework is an area of pure Emuna. Yedias Hashem is the basis, and once you have Yedias Hashem, then it's Emuna. Then there's Emuna. Without the Yedias Hashem, nothing begins. The Emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu insofar as Schar Va'onesh and Avtocha is Memo L'Shalom Schar. So the Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim is incomplete unless you have the last. That's why the third bracha is separated from the first two, because the first two is Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. The last one is Emuna. So that's why it's placed afterwards, because in the first parasha of Krishna you don't have that. That you have in Voyim Shemoa, Nesat Ha'atzchem Be'ito, Yoram Malkosh, and then Gulas Mitzrayim. You see, that's where you have the that's where you have that concept. It's interesting. But the halacha, it says like this, L'hagab ha'boka chastecho v'emunoscha balelos alei osov alei novol alei yigayim l'chinah. What does it mean? It means to say that sheer. That's sheer. Person the Shabbat. One question. Question to ask is like this. I can understand Aleyos Alei Novel with regard to Laga Baba Baruch HaChazdecha. But how do you say Aleyos Alei Novel on Vemunoscha Balelos? As a matter of fact, there's a contrary, contradictory pasuk. You say at the end of Hodu, what do you say? Say vani bechastecha batachti. Yogel libi Yeshua Secha. Oshiro la Hashem kigomal alai. So when is Shira? After kigomal alai. Before the event occurs, I'm in the state of ani bechastecha batachti, Adamuna. When I see the Yeshua taking place, yogel libi. And Ashira Hashem. When is Shira? Kigomal alai, when it's complete. So how could David HaMelech say, Mizmah Shirin on a Shabbos, Alei Osa Lein Ola, Emunoscha Balelos? It's a kasha. It doesn't make any sense. He said, well, Hagabal Chastach Alei Osa Lein Ola, not Emunoscha Balelos. What's the answer? The answer really is, in the fourth kos of Yayin on Pesach, because the fourth kos on the Gula Asidah, and you sing Shira on the Gula Asidah, you say Halal Mitzri, right? What's the pshat? The answer is from this Gemara. Because Lahagid Baboker Chasdecha means the Geula Shehoya, Sheova, which is Geulas Mitzrayim. Once there's Geulas Mitzrayim, now we can sing Shira on his Ne'amon. The Ne'amonis has become a reality already because of the Geula, because of the Geula Shehoya. Now you can say Shira even on the Geula Sida. If there was no such thing that ever occurred, it doesn't make sense to say I'm going to sing Shira because Emunah is not Shira. Emunah in general is not Shira. But there can be Shira in this case because it's Lahag. That's what the Gemara explains. Lahag Babakar Astecha is the Leshavar, the Gula Mitzrayim. The Emunascha Balelos, we see the Gula already began. That's the Halacha. Once the Gula begins, and it's more than Emunah, the Emunah has already began to realize itself, then you could say Alei Osa Alei Navo. That's how the Gemara really answers that question.
Okay.
So the it's an interesting thing that the let me answer the Kash Vechulu. Yeah, what's the answer to Kash Vechulu? The answer to Kash Vechulu is very simple. Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'oretz V'chol Tzivam is what? Is Halacha V'Darashta V'Chakata Hete. It's not that I'm made. Who am I to be made that Akash Baruch is a Bari Olam? But the halachas, the mitzvah was given over to me, b'teres what? It's b'teres of the rashi of Chakata Hete. I have to understand it. Otherwise I have no part in HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Bari Olam. I have to have Yediyah. So that's why Friday night by Kiddush, what do you say? I'm made. What does it mean I'm made? I went through the drisha of HaKira and I understand it. Because if I don't understand it, then there's no Amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing. There's no Yediyah, there's no Amunah, the whole thing. There's no Shabbos. So the halacha of being made is not a halacha. It's not a halacha as a regular case of made. It's an endorsement of the whole concept of Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem through the Bria. That's Shabbos really. It must be. So you must be made. If you're not made, you don't know. There's no other rational character. Okay? That's why you have to have two aliens. Objectification. We went through the Suya, we understand it, we see is Yediyas Hashem that there was a Bria. That's Eidus. That's objectification. Over there, you can't have any Nemanis. Over there, it's not an Eid Echad Nemon Bisurit. It's the Parsha Pishnayim Eidim Yochum Dover. That's Allah. Okay? There's one more place where this concept comes in. Where's the place? Explains the idea of Yud Gimel Midos. What's the halacha? What is Yud Gimel Midos? Yud Gimel Midos is a funny kind of thing. It means Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Arenas Kodecha. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu say? He said, no. He says, Ani ave kol tuvi al panecha. Where he says, Achor efona ilo yedo. So, lo yero. Okay. So what does it mean? It means like this. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted to understand everything. He wanted to remove the whole concept of Nemonis. He wanted to remove himself from the Muna completely. It means totally idea. That's why it says, Haredi nas kodecha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, we only answer the Modini Nos Drachecha. What's the difference between Kodecha and Drachecha? And what is the Yud Gimel Midos? We look at the Yud Gimel Midos. This is supposed to be Yav Hashem Alponov, the Pon Hashem Moshe, Vayikra, and God himself called out Hashem Hashem, okay, the Benesis, but Kel Hashem, Kel Racham Lacham, and Erech HaPayim, look, this is the ultimate revelation. You're looking where, what? Racham Lacham, Erech HaPayim, Erech HaPayim, very nice. Okay, but what is the revelation? What was this revelation? B'nikras Hatzur, Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaz, like this. Shaz, of course, we can't understand the revelation. It just gives you the facts. But it means like this. It means Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand the realm of Schar Onesh. Now, there's two ways you can understand something.
Now, let me give you a mashal. A person sees a watch. So he sees the hands are moving, and he hears a ticking sound. So he wants to understand what the ticking sound has to do with the movement of the hands. So somebody will open up the back of the watch and show him that there are gears and levers. The gears and levers move, they cause a ticking sound, and that in turn moves the hands. And so now he understands the relationship between the ticking and between the movement of the hands. But does he understand the watch essentially? Does he understand how to make a watch and why a watch has to result in gears and ticking and movement of hands? And does he understand the watch mitchiloso? That he doesn't have. He doesn't understand the watch essentially.
That's the Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to remove the Emuna. So he said, he asked, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. I'm only going to answer Odeni Noah to Rechecha. Varisa Zachorai Ufonai Lo Yeira. What does it mean?
Varisa Zachorai means you'll understand the relationship between me as a Bori Olam and as a Meshalim Schar. But Ufonai Lo Yeira. You will not understand my essence. You will not understand why I am such a being from whom Meshalim Schar and Bori Olam emerge. What is the underlying essence from which these two manifestations emerge? That is something that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to understand. Only the relationship between the two manifestations.
So, the Yud Gimel Midos, really? And the Yud Gimel Midos was an explanation, an understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu received, B'nageya to Schar V'Onesh, B'nageya to Amuna. He reduced a certain amount of Amuna, wasn't necessary anymore for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a sort of relationship. That, of course, can't be in the Torah. Can't understand it, you have to Moshe Rabbeinu understand it. It just gives you the Gimel Midos, the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it means, the Torah means, Moshe Rabbeinu understood these Midos and how they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence.
In other words, how the Meshalim Sachar is tied into the Borei Olam. He understood the link between the two. But the knowledge of the underlying essence was unavailable to him.
Okay. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Yiv. Sefer Yiv is an answer of Schar V'Onesh, but in universal terms.
And the understanding of Schar V'Onesh in detailed terms, requires a full knowledge of God, which even Moshe Rabbeinu did not receive. Over there, we only say one thing, Neman Meshalim Schar. And by the way, any books that are written to try to explain it is a denial of Amunah, a denial of the Neman Meshalim Schar. It's a futile attempt to convert Amunah into Yediyah. Yediyah and Amunah are two institutions, and they must remain separate. Any attempt to eradicate Amunah and to substitute for it Yediya must eventuate in nonsense. Okay, now we'll take up the Gemara of Kriya Shema Lamita. It's Brachas Daf Hei Amud Aleph. From Brachos, the Gemara says like this, that Talam Beis, I'm a Shubha Levi, after Shkod on Krishma Beis, a Knesset, mitzvah lakros al mikasa. Alright? My Krah, Rizal Tachto, Imavach Mashkafta, Al Mashkafta, and Domu Sela. Okay. Amar Av Nachman. In Tamachach al Mayin Tzarech. So Rasha Shiragel, the Mishnasa, Lachza, Achagisasa, Tamid, Dayabikach. So Talmudar is enough. So Talmudar is a substitute for what? For Krishma Lamita. Amar Abaye, Av Talmud Chacham, Meboyele Lameimar, Chapsukid Rachmi. Even the Talmud Chacham must say one pasuk of Rachmi, Kigon, Biyodchav, Kidruchi, Padiso, Siyad Hashem, Kelamis. Okay. So apparently it's like this, according to Abaye. If you say Krishma Lamita, so Krishma Lon is enough. But if you're Talmud Chacham and you're learning Torah, So then you have to add Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi. So the question is, if you need the pasuk of Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi, so even a person that says Krishna should say Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi. And if you don't need the pasuk of Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi when you say Krishna, and Talmud Torah is a substitute for Kriya Shema, so why do you need Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi? So just to review, we explained that Krishna is said in two frameworks. It said b'tarz for the Rashi v'hakarta hetev, and that's the first bracha of Krishna, which is Yediyas Hashem through the Bria. By the way, Rav Ben Aramam held that it's a mitzvah to study the Bria physics on Shabbos, because Shabbos is Bria is Yediyas Hashem. So by studying physics, by studying the Bria, so it's a kiyam in v'derash v'chakata hetev yadata yom v'shavos olavlecha, like the Sephora says, v'aschanon dalid lametes. So that's Yediyas Hashem. Second bracha on Krishna is Yediyas Hashem through Torah, through Ava Rabba. Ava Rabba is also through Yediyah, like Akash Baruch Hu said to Moshe, v'man yishmam b'dabar yimach v'gam b'chayamin l'olam. So it's based upon Maimer HaSinai, like the Rambam says in Perek Ches, Eluchas HaSedi HaTara, that Einenu Rova Lo Zor. So all this is Nisames through Yediyah. And Yediyah means to know that we don't believe in Osamosin, and only in the event of Sinai, and that's why the Navi Sheker is we don't believe, like the Ramban says, and in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he adds the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, of Yediyas, the proof of Maimon HaSinai. So that's all Yediyas Hashem. Then you have Emes V'yatziv, is the bracha after Krishma. Like Reb Chaim said in the Rambam, why isn't it counted as a separate mitzvah, even though it's Midaraisa? So he said it's an extension of Kriya Shema. Now we understand why it's an extension of Kriya Shema. It's an extension of Kriya Shema because Kabbalah Samach HaShema is incomplete unless you have a Muna Bakarish Baruch Hu. That's Muna means unquestionable, like the Sugya of Erechanam Misurah, which means you don't question the aid. He's accepted implicitly. That's the same thing in the Gerech Tarkadosh Baruch Hu, the Teres Char V'Onesh, Emes V'Yatziv, is Hakel HaNemon. That's V'Amunos Chabalelos, and that's why Chazal added Hashkivenu, because Hashkivenu doesn't mean Dafka this particular night. It's not a particular night. Not every night is fearful. But it reflects, they use that situation to reflect the concept, the universal idea of Laila. Because every person's life is really an endless sequence of emunoscha balelos. The person's afraid of the laila, because he's afraid of what kind of a boker he's going to have. And then lahagibah boker hasdecha, when he sees that his fears were untrue, so he's magid shvachal shel makom. That's an endless sequence of a person's life, with the exception, of course, of tzedek adin, which is a separate parsha. So Kriyashma is essentially two things. It's Yediyas Hashem and it's Amunah B'Hashem. Now the Kriyashma Lamita really is said not B'Teres Yediyas Hashem, but B'Teres Amunah B'Hashem. So that's why if a person says Kriyashma itself, so he really is enunciating his Amunah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Emes V'Amunah Hashkivenu Emes V'yatziv, the Muna Bakarish Baruch Hu. But if a person is also can tell the Torah, so it's true, he has Krishna is also a Krishna is also Talmud Torah. I gave a shiur once demonstrating that Krishna is a species of Talmud Torah, very separate. It was set aside as Talmud Torah, but it's a separate species of Talmud Torah. So that's why if you say Krishna itself, so the concept of Amunah is implied in Krishna. But if you just say Talmud Torah Stam, so he has the aspect of Talmud Torah. Of course, he has just Talmud Torah, but then he must say Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi in order to demonstrate Amunah B'Hashem, in order to express Amunah B'Hashem. Of course, just Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi alone is worthless. Why? Because our only relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Talmud Torah. So that's why you must have Krishna, or you must have Talmud Torah. That's the very relationship. Once the relationship's established, you must enunciate the principle of Amunah. And the highest expression of Amunah is where his mafkid is neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the highest possible expression of Amunah. It means he entrusts him with his very existence, with his very soul. That's why the Gemara says that Krishna destroys the mazikin. Rashi says, because the only way to for a person to avoid the mazikin is through complete emunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Krishna Lamita teaches a person when he's afraid, when he's frightened, fearful of the different events, because nighttime and sleep is the most fearful state, because the person is unconscious, and it is nighttime. So the Torah teaches a person that there's only one way for a person to attain a security, and that is through Amunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is expressed through a relationship with him through Talmud Torah and Amunah. Then the Gemara goes on. And the Gemara says that after looks negative base Rabban Yad and say, so the Gemara says, Ella call Sheshla Vasbatarina of Enosa, because Baruch Mevil of Yasur Mechor and Vaurchana say. So Shanema is Vainta Nelanti Dumia Hashisi Mitov. And it is Vaintov of a Torah. Shanema Kilakh Thomas Abraham Taras Pazov. So what is the Gemara adding over here? The Gemara is adding that really Talmud Torah itself is a kiyum in Amunah. It's not essentially Amunah, but it's a kiyum in Amunah. So that's why a person who is Isaac the Talmud Torah has a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Schar Vayinush, a very special relationship, and removes the Yisurim. And the contrary is also true. If he thwarts this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he removes his protection from the Yisurah. So Krishma is essentially Amunah. That's why if he says Krishma Lamita, he doesn't have to say Biyachav Kiruchi. But the Gemara says even Talmud Torah is a Kiyum of Amunah. And a Kiyum of Amunah means Amunah B'Torah. Amunah is in the framework of Schav Einish. So he has a very special effect in terms of the individual's Schar Vayinash. It's different than Kol HaMitzvahs. Kol HaMitzvahs is also Schar Vayinash, but that's indirect. But Krishna has a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a direct Amunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Talmud Torah, I mean, is a direct Amunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's a Kiyumah, the Kiyumah of Amunah, and that's why Yisurim is B'dilin Emenu. But since it's only a kiyum in Amunah, but it's not essentially Amunah, so you must say the extra pasuk of the Yod Chaf Kedruchi. Amunah b'Hashem is in the area of the intrinsically unknowable, in the area of Schar V'Onish. But it's different than something that's just unknowable. For instance, if a person will say he doesn't know a certain halacha, whatever the halacha is, I don't know what it is, whatever it is, I believe it's true. So that suffices. But as far as Schar V'Onish is concerned, if a person will say, look, I don't know whether it's Schar V'Onish, but whatever the Torah says about it, that's good enough for me. That is not considered Amunah. Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of Schar V'Onish, is a kiyum. It's the relationship between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person halacha, a person merely has to accept whatever the halachas are true. And the relationship is only when he understands the halachas. Yedias, the halacha Yedias Hashem. If a person doesn't know a specific halacha, he's not lacking in his relationship with God, essentially. But in Schar V'Onesh, it's an idea that he must have fastened in his mind, and he must understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Nemon. The attribute of Nemonus must be applied to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, he has no relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. I'd like to, at this point, add and expand upon a few points that we took up in this year. It's interesting. We mentioned the Haftarah and the Nevi'im, is all Avtachas Hashem. And in that area, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keteras Akel and Neman, in terms of Amunah. Now, the source for the Haftarah itself is because Pamachas, the Mishnah brings Reish Pei Dalet. Pamachas Gazu Gzera Yisrash Le'aska B'Tera. The Karban Vim Shiva, Barcha Olam, Keneged Shiva Sheret Tzrichim La'alais V'Lukras B'Tera. The original minig was they couldn't learn Torah, so they learned Nevi'im. They learned from Nevi'im. But it wasn't just that they chose, it wasn't as they chose Nevi'im arbitrarily. The reason why they chose Nevi'im, of course Nevi'im's Kisvei Kodesh, but they didn't take Suvim. Why did they take Nevi'im? Because Nevi'im is Avtachas Hashem. So the Avtacha was, the Avtacha is that the that ultimately the Torah will return to Kol Yisrael. And the Kriyas and Nevi'im was really B'Teras Avtacha. The Avtacha will be Mekuyim, that Kol Yisrael will be able to learn Torah once again. So the subject matter itself was one which gave the person hope that the Avtacha will become Mekuyim. We mentioned with regard to Avram Avinu that he asked B'mo Eida Ki Irashina. That was with regard to Eretz Yisrael. So I noticed the Sifsei Chachamim speaks a lot about why he asked on Yerushas Aretz. According to what we're saying, is very good, because in terms of Schar, he wasn't Shoel in any of it, because Schar you can't investigate. Schar is not an area of Drish V'Chakira. But Eretz Yisrael really is a component of Torah. And Yerushas Aretz and the concept of Eretz Yisrael is a necessary idea in Torah, and that's why, with regard to that, he did ask for insight. An os doesn't mean an os, because why is the os any better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's very statement? If you take a look at the kind of os, Rashi explains that what were these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. So Rashi says in Pasuk Tes, Egla Mushuleshes, Shlosha Golem, Remez Legimel Parim, Pariam Kippurim, Pariam Dor Shel Tzibur, Egla Rufa, Eiz Mushuleshes, Remez Lesor Anasa Bifnim, Sir Musafim, Shalmoed, Lesor Chatas Yochid, Ayal Mushulesh, Oshem Vadai, Oshem Toli, Kapsa Shel Chatas Yochid, Tor Vagozo, Tor Ben Yono. So it's all halachas. This is all areas of knowledge. So that's why, with regard to Eretz Yisrael, the ideas of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is tied with the halacha of Migdash and Karbonis, that he was Shoel, that he wanted to understand. And he was Mechuyev to understand, Mechuyev to be Shoel. But with regard to Schar Kahabe Mahod, there he wasn't permitted to be Shoel. And later, the only time he asked was by the, as we mentioned, by the in Vayera, the reason why he asked was Kianta Yadati in Chaf Beis Yid Beis. I just want to just explain a little further, because over there where it says Farish Lefanecha Sichosi, so Avraham Avinu said, let me explain my words before you. So he says Esmo Vamarta Li Kibitzchi Kalo Chazara V'Chazat Mar Kachmas Bincha Achshav Atom Av Tishlachi Yadchal Anar. So it means that before this, even though it was a contradiction, but he knew that he doesn't understand Avtachas Hashem, so he didn't ask any question, because Haleo La'ola made sense. It didn't fit into Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. Yes, that he didn't understand, but that's Emuna. But when he told him Al Tishlach Yadcha L'Nar, that made the very Tzivui incomprehensible. Because first he said Haleo La'ola, now Tishlach Yadcha L'Nar. Then he had to ask, because that means that it was completely, the action that he was supposed to do didn't make sense in its own framework. How am I supposed to be Mekayim al Tishlach Yad Cholanar if I have to do Alei Olah? So that's why then Avram Avinu asked the question. But as long as it was Haleo La'ola alone, he understood Haleo La'ola, but it was a contradiction to the Avtocha of Kibi Yitzchak and Karla Chazara, that Avram Avinu could handle. Because the Maisa Mitzvah that he was, Mitzvah, that he was commanded to do, made sense, at least in its own framework. Only when in its own framework it didn't make any sense. Haleo La'ola and Altishach Yotcha, he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand what he was supposed to do. That's when he had to ask. Yeah, the theme that Amun is tied to Scharv Onesh is in Kolotar Kol, in many places. I mean, Kel Amun of Einovel, Nazinu, Rash says, L'shalan Tzadikim Tzadkasam, L'olam Abba. V'yalfishim Acharas Tagmulam, Sofo V'amin is Devarav. The Amun on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Mashan Schar, is not just that he will give the reward, which would mean the reward that we expect. But it's a muna with regard to the nature of the reward as well. That's why it says, Hashem tagmulam olam abba. We mamin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the reward. But what that reward is not the reward that we imagine, but we trust Him with the fact that He knows the reward, and He will give us the reward which is the proper one. And we don't even have any idea as to what that reward is. Only He knows what that reward is. That's why Rashi says, L'olam haba. And that's why Rashi says, V'afal pisham es acher. What do I mean, V'af pisham acher es tagmulam? Sofa la'amin es devarav. Why should God be macher? That's not just. Kelim u'lein ovel. It means in our eyes it's ichor. But in reality, Sofa L'Amin as Devarav means in the end we will see that it wasn't an Ichor, and that this, to us, it appears like an Ichor, because we have a false notion of what the Schar is. So it would seem to us that in our concept of Schar, it should be now. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Schar, it's not an Ichor, but on the contrary, that is the appropriate tzchar. And sofo la'amein is tefarav. It means in the end we too will realize and understand why that is so. Okay. Now just somebody asked one question with regard to the shiur, just to, maybe the point wasn't clear. That somebody asked that we said that with regard to Isurin, there's also a concept of Baldava. That's why the Ran has the analogy between Dina Mamanis and Dina Yisr. And by Dina Yisr, you require, in order for the Erechetz Agoda to be effective, you require that that he must forfeit his status as a Baldava. Of course, with regard to Mamanis, as the Ran explains, it's definitely not true. Somebody asked me why. The reason is simple. Because with regard to Mamanis, there can't be such halacha. Because Mamanis requires tzedek tidof. It has to be just. It wouldn't be just if the gavra was shosek, and he really knew the reason why it was shosek is not because of the events and the facts that he owes the money. And just for an extraneous reason, it wouldn't be that wouldn't be justice. Wouldn't be mishpat. So by Mamanis, it can't work. But by Yisurin, there's no problem, because that's the very nature of the system. That's the way the system's set up. And the system is set up that way, mitchilasa, that if you have a dar, the gavra, the baldava, relinquishes his baldavership, so then the agadah sa'id is effective. Okay.
With regard to the agadah, how he burst in mind of me, the bracha of Zohar Abris, the Nemon Bebriso Vakayim Bema'amaro. So there's Nemonis. Why Nemonis? Because it's Chav Onesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to destroy the world anymore. Okay.